The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, isn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here for a Tuesday edition of the best NFL talk show on the internet. Right? Am I going out on a limb there too much?
No.
Or no?
We're the best.
Are we the only talk Patriots football talk show on the internet?
I didn't mention
he
Patriots.
Said NFL.
I said NFL.
Oh, NFL.
And
oh.
I agree with it. We're the best.
So we've got a lot to talk about here. The gang's all here. Andy Hart's here. Darren the intern. Eric.
Oh, I got a last name.
Paul. And Kevin in the booth. It seems like the preseason game was ages ago, but we'll talk about that in the seven.
Thankfully, I've washed it from my memory.
The 7-6 nail biter. The Patriots ended up winning that game. We'll talk about.
And evidently the second worst preseason game thus far in 2012.
Yeah. Last night,
Oakland Dallas was pretty bad.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Although it was another 7-6 game, Sports Center. I think, the same night we played.
Sure, it's the officials' fault. The replacement officials are ruining the game.
Well, now that there's no lockout, the teams have had the offseason. The defenses are ahead of the offenses.
Right.
So we'll talk about that game. We'll talk about the practices they've had since then. Who's practicing? Who's not? Who's looking good? Who's not looking good?
Who's worried?
And we'll do that all here from 11 till 1. And then, of course, Bill Belichick takes over. Nick Caserio takes over Patriots.com with a live press conference, and then we'll go out to practice. Webradio@Patriots.com is the email. Webradio@Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. So, guys, starting with the game, how are you feeling about this team after a very small snippet of information?
Oh, no different, really.
No different.
Coming in.
But still good.
Yeah, I still expect them to win 12 to 14 games and be good. And if you specific reactions, I'm really going all in on the Shane Vereen bandwagon. I liked him coming in, and I got a little more taste of him in the game. I think he has a chance to be a star.
I was thoroughly impressed by him. And I know he was in the second half, and it was against, you know, the Saints' second-teamers. But, I've seen guys do a lot less in that situation.
Right. And the running back situation in general, I don't know how you cannot be intrigued by the possibilities that Ridley and Vereen present for this passing offense. And even if they're just complementary secondary afterthoughts, you get the feeling when they get those chances, as Ridley did at times last year, you're going to see some plays, some 10-yard runs, some 15-yard runs, and get excited a little bit.
I was also a little excited about the defense. I know it was only, mostly second, third, even fourth string guys on both sides out there, but they held the Saints to 6 points. I mean, you can also say that the Saints held New England to 7 points with the same kind of thing, but I like what I saw out of Chandler Jones. Don't put him in Canton just yet, obviously, but he showed up.
Right.
He made some plays.
Thought the secondary looked pretty good, too.
Yeah, see, I agree with that. I was more impressed even with the back part, because that's the part I don't think was very impressive during training camp practices. And I know that camp practices tend to lend themselves to more completions than not. You know, it's hard to simulate. But I felt there was a lot of activity around the football. I didn't see a lot of wide-open guys. There was one play that I was you know, sort of reminiscent of the past couple of years. It was a 3rd and 22 from deep in their own end.
Yeah.
And they completed a pass down the sideline for 30 yards to Courtney Roby with Arrington led him. I think it was Arrington. Might have been Dowling. Which one?
One of them. But one of them Chung was late.
Chung was coming over.
Yeah, one of them let Roby get behind him, and Chung was very late getting over. It was almost like the play to Manningham down the sideline without the tough coverage.
It was
Sterling Moore. You are correct.
But it wasn't terrible.
No, but it was. It was
chewing gum.
It was like that play with. that's a radio no-no.
Especially when you have the most sensitive mic in the room.
It was like the play in the Super Bowl without really the tight coverage. But that was it. Every other play, I thought, when there was completions, there was guys there to make sure that they didn't get a whole lot of yards after the catch. The tackling was pretty sound in the secondary. And then you had a couple of opportunities to make plays. And Andy's two safeties, Gregory and Pat Chung, both came up with interceptions on opportunities that at times in the past have sort of been wasted because they haven't been able to secure the ball. They were able to do it in this one.
Yep. I'll tell you what I was not impressed with on both sides.
Negativino.
The backup quarterback situation.
Oh, yeah.
It was
I'm with him.
Really terrible quarterbacking from
well, I think this,
after
the
Breeze and Brady.
Guys looked a little bit better. Yeah, Chase Daniel looked better.
Chase Daniel was okay, but yeah. I agree with overall, all of the backup quarterbacks I didn't think were really good.
Right.
But the Patriots struggled.
Certainly the third stringer. What's that famous Cosmo Kramer? I'm out. Mallet, I'm out.
Well, now, I think Hoyer got a little better as time went on. He looked a little better in the second half.
Well, Shane Vereen was a big part of that on the touchdown drive.
True.
That's how I
it was
that.
All the running back. And by the way, he has a fourth-year veteran. I mean,
right. But I think Mallet.
That was almost a three and out, by the way. It was a third down penalty that continued that drive.
At time, Mallet's inaccuracy is astounding.
Jamarcus Russell-esque.
How inaccurate he is.
I just like the receivers who don't even, it's so bad, they don't even break stride or like try to reach for the ball. They just jog.
So now that
jog,
might
turn
be,
around, jog
now,
back to
that
the
might be less inaccuracy and more. I thought he was running this way and he ran the other way and not.
Either way, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's not good. He looks good in the pocket. He has a good arm.
He's got a strong arm. You know,
so he has those tools, but upstairs and with the accuracy, I'm not sure it's there yet.
So we need to combine Mallet and Hoyer into one player.
Right.
Because Mallet makes good, Hoyer makes good decisions. Mallet has the arm to get the ball where it needs to be.
Yeah.
And Hoyer's a little bit more accurate. So if we could combine those two, we'd be all right with a backup quarterback.
Who cares? You're crossing your fingers if Brady goes down anyway.
Well, that's the
you were crossing it with Matt Castle. You know, some of us thought he should have been cut. Didn't see that coming. I think every team in the NFL, if the starter goes down, you cross your fingers. You hope if it's Matt Leinart, what has he proven? Nothing. Just because he was a first-round pick once upon a time, he still sucks. There are no good backup quarterbacks. There's either the ascending guy who's your starter to be or the Jag veteran who's already proven he sucks.
I was looking at the game last night, and, you know, there's backups, Matt Leinart, Kyle Orton, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, in this league, if you have a guy like that, he'll probably end up playing at some point in the year. But, you know, the Patriots have kind of rolled the dice over the last few years with the exception of 08, and they've been pretty lucky. I say don't go for that veteran guy because the minute you get him, Brady will get hurt. So keep it the way it is.
Well, as long as there's sound reasoning behind
No.
I don't get it.
I know you just did.
Castle wasn't a veteran.
You know, it's one of those
things. I said with the exception of 08.
He's teasing anyway. He doesn't really think it's cause and effect.
Right.
Well, you hope he doesn't.
But I do.
kind of
one of those Murphy's laws.
There's a few things that Andy and I are sort of lockstep on that are, you know, sort of, you know, run counter to the conventional wisdom, you know, like the offensive line. You know, we insist that we're not. This whole backup quarterback thing. Oh, you got to have a backup quarterback in today's NFL. Really? Do you? Why? And I think that there's a lot of teams that probably feel, as you just mentioned, a couple of them, pretty good about their backup quarterback situation. But you know what? They're not any better than any other team,
right?
Because of what Andy said.
I mean, if the ultimate goal is winning the Super Bowl, are either any of those guys going to do it for you?
I mean, some teams would be good enough to get by. Like, in other words, if Matt Leinart was here instead of Brian Hoyer, I have faith in Bill Belichick would be able to get the team through and not be a total disaster. But they wouldn't be any better off because Matt Leinart is a proven veteran.
That's why I think what the Texans did last year is all the more amazing. They went to the third quarterback and still were contenders. You know,
because their team was the best
all-around
team.
Because their team was good.
They had a great defense,
according to the Wilson Hart Power Index.
And again, I you know, I have no doubt that Belichick wouldn't allow it to just completely take on water and sink and go 3-13.
And we've seen that. We've seen that.
Okay, but
oh wait,
I don't. I don't think that you need necessarily. I mean, these guys have proven that they can't play. The Kyle Ortons and the Matt Leinarts of the world. Billy Volek was always the guy. You know,
because he threw for like 500 yards.
That was all
once.
The rage. You know, if these guys could play consistently. There are a good 10, 12, 14 guys in the league that can't.
And
they're starting.
And I know people will say, well, what about, you know.
I would have gone with if these guys could play consistently, you know, they'd play consistently.
What about,
that's what I'm saying.
You know, and I know guys, people will say, well, what about in the past, you know, Craig Morton and the guy from the Giants that won it, you know, coming in as a. But those, in those days, it wasn't
Craig,
the.
Craig Morton.
Yeah.
Jeff Hostetler?
Is that your name?
Hostetler is another one.
Craig's the
guy from the Giants.
Craig Morton was a starter.
No. No, Craig Morton came in Denver as a
yes,
backup.
But then you said the guy from the Giants.
And the guy from the Giants.
Who are you talking about?
Hostetler.
I don't want to get in.
Didn't
you know,
say Hostetler?
And he said, that's another one. No, yeah, that's right. The one you were talking about.
Yeah, because I think he keeps going with the Craig Morton thing, and I don't want to, believe me, I don't want to intrude on his Broncos love.
But
he was the starter for the Broncos that year.
But, you know, the thing about, back then you could win on defense. I don't think you can just win on defense anymore. It's a passing league. You need a quarterback who can run that offense. And I don't think you can. I don't think, for example, if a Hostetler had to come in nowadays,
he'd have had
the success he had then.
The Texans almost won it on defense last year. They went down to TJ Yates, whatever the hell his name was, the third string guy.
TJ freaking Yates.
I think
they played another team. They lost to another team that had a really good defense.
They had a pretty good.
And that team almost beat this team.
They could still run the ball, and, you know, they still
produce. That's what Jeff Hostetler did. That's what you're asking. You want to run the ball and play defense.
Yeah.
That's what the Houston Texans did the second half of last year.
But I think it's harder now. I think it's more of a passing league. You have to pass the ball. You know, you can't just win it on running the ball.
Well, no, but running the ball in defense. I mean, if Mario Williams, maybe if he had been healthy last year, maybe they would have been better.
Maybe if they didn't lose as many guys on defense as they did, they might have been able to get by.
I mean, Baltimore's offense wasn't explosive by any means in the AFC title game.
Well, I think that's why they got by in a close game that day, and they had a chance to win. Because I think if they had played a team that scored some points.
Right, and you're talking about a weak AFC.
I don't care how good you are defensively. I think that there are some teams that are going to score points.
So did the Giants only beat good teams? Did the Ravens only beat high-powered offense? I mean, it's all circumstantial how you make it through the postseason.
Listen, I understand how this cuts very close to your heart because the Houston Texans are the number one team.
No, I'm just...
The Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Maybe had they just had their backup quarterback, they would
I didn't mean that in any way to be disrespectful.
North Carolina.
Has that been released yet, though? That hasn't been released this year.
No, last year.
We don't do the Wilson Hart Power Index until after four games.
That's what I mean. I didn't want him to. This is from last year. Okay, all right.
Because Fred and I used to make fun of him every week.
Yeah.
And I know this cuts really close to his heart. I meant no disrespect whatsoever to the Houston Texans. I think they're an excellent football team.
I would think.
I'm really looking forward to that game. I know it's a long way away. It's in December as I'm knocking the microphone all over the place.
Pretty sure that's a radio no-no, too.
Yeah, that's up there with chewing gum.
Well, I think, do you agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Losing your quarterback today is a lot tougher than it was 20 years ago.
Disagree.
I guess I'd agree.
I think it all depends on who your quarterback is. And I think it's the same.
I did average both.
You lose Tavares Jackson, you're probably okay.
That's my point. And just like you were 20 years ago.
I disagree because I think there are very few elite quarterbacks now.
Right. Well, I agree with that.
And I think if you lose an elite quarterback, it's going to affect
you. Okay, so my next question
just
is,
like it would have
so
20
you
years
think,
ago.
So you think there are less, and forget the word elite, top shelf quarterbacks today than there were 20 years ago?
Yes, I do.
So you think that there was more talent at quarterback 20 years ago than today?
Yes.
Or at least it was more even.
Yeah.
You don't, Paul.
No. I think that there's more teams today. That's why it seems like more teams are without good quarterbacks. But I think there's good players. And I think that when I think people kind of romanticize about some of the things that happened yesterday. You know, Earl Morrall stepping in. Earl Morrall was a longtime NFL quarterback who happened to be toward the end of the line as a backup, but had won a far better player. You can't have a guy of that caliber as a backup quarterback today. He'd be starting on some team because there's too many teams.
I don't know.
Back then,
Brian
Hoyer's
here, and he's a future great.
Again, I don't mean any disrespect. Much like with the Houston Texans, I mean no disrespect to those people like Mike Lombardi that think – Cleveland Browns have set their franchise back for 12 years. Mike Lombardi. Really? I said Mike Lombardi.
Yeah, but you also said
people. I singled
I don't
one
think
out.
There is anyone else on the planet other than Mike Lombardi who's decided that Brian Hoyer is a certified starter in the National League. I literally haven't
Cleveland
heard anyone
may
else.
Never rebound from their ill-fated decision to draft a quarterback rather than just give $5 million a year to Brian Hoyer. They may never recover from that.
It'll be, fun exercise,
be right up
though.
There with Art Modell moving the franchise originally.
1990. Or 1992.
Yep. Yeah, 92.
Who were the quarterbacks? I mean, you had Marino and Kelly.
Yep.
Esiason.
Mm-hmm.
Was Cunningham still
Montana.
Good? Montana.
Yeah, Cunningham was
Young,
still in there.
Was Young a starter yet?
Young,
he was kind of getting, he would be he one was of those backups there. That
yeah,
would play.
Yeah,
Sims. Rippin.
Nah.
Won an MVP. I know.
Yeah, I know, but.
No, he didn't.
Brandon Merriweather went to two Pro Bowls, too. No. So, let's not.
He had one. He had one good year, but he didn't win an MVP.
We sure about that?
Sure.
A Super Bowl MVP or a league MVP?
No, a league MVP.
No, he didn't.
He might have won Super Bowl.
So it's interesting. Paul doesn't believe that.
But I'm pretty sure. I thought he.
Paul believes there are just as many good quarterbacks today as there was 20 years ago.
Mark Rippon
in the league.
Yeah, and I
but there's also bad ones. I mean, I can go to the Patriots and say Zolak, and I can go to the Bengals
here's
and
where
say
I think
whichever jag of theirs they had drafted at that Andre Ware or something.
There are more bad ones today. Because, like I said, I think there's more teams. But I think that the number of good ones, I think Andy rattled off a good 10 or 12 pretty good quarterbacks, and I think you could do the same today. I mean, I think you could do fine with Matt Ryan, Tony Romo, Joe
Super
Flacco.
Super Bowl MVP.
You know, those Super kinds of guys.
Two-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I think you could do fine. You know, I think
year.
Those guys
offensive
are,
player of the year.
1991.
And it gets complicated when you look at the college game back then, because the college game
was
has
different.
Changed too.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, so who are you picking from, and that determines a lot of.
Yeah, there were definitely. I think there were certainly more of what you would consider a prototypical quarterback back then, because there were fewer, almost no spread offenses. The best spread offense you could come up with was the run and shoot type systems, like Houston, the University of Houston. I mean, and those
bombed out.
And those bombed out, but. You had more typical pro-style offenses in college back then than you do now.
Or at least...
So there's a different type of quarterback
out
there.
You knew there was more of a... there were running teams, and you knew that this option guy was not an NFL quarterback. And this other guy, maybe he handed off all the time, but okay, he's probably got a strong arm, he's got decent size. Now you have these guys in these spread offenses that put up big numbers... Mm-hmm. But are they just a product of the system?
Exactly. Put them in a pro style.
Can I change them into what I need them to be for my system? You know, the Gabbert thing in Jacksonville is probably the best example right now. Blaine Gabbert. Some people still think what's his name? Prisco thinks he's still going to be a very good player in the NFL. Others think he's got no chance. He just doesn't have what it takes.
All right. Well, so it's a good subject. We'll put that on the table and we'll reel it back in to the Patriots.
I don't think we need to go off.
Going back to the,
it's a good discussion.
Going
it's
back
not
to the
like
game,
June.
Eric, you were impressed with the secondary and the defense. Andy, you really like what you saw from Shane Vereen. Darren liked Chandler Jones and what he saw from him.
It's kind of the other way around.
Just
there.
To recap, okay. Darren liked the secondary. Eric liked the front seven.
Well, I knew that
Chandler Jones specifically.
I knew that corner had. Defense on its mind.
this corner here.
What about the news? We're gonna get to the news.
What's the news?
What is it?
Dame Fletcher.
Various amounts of news.
Well, there's a lot of
Dame Fletcher. Plaxico Burress. I mean, the news.
I figured we get
Paul's
no
guy,
tight ends.
Britt Davis.
I wanted to, you know, the thing that was furthest away from this show was the game. So I wanted to catch people up with your thoughts on the game.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
We're caught up.
And by the way, you know,
Logan Mankins back at practice.
I think Ridley was. You know, as you know, 5 yards a carry in the first half,
and didn't fumble.
Turned his back on one play.
The running
at least
backs
we
good.
Knew what he was. Yeah. I mean, we had a sampling of him from last year. We didn't have a real sampling of Shane Vereen. He played in like one game. He had that Chiefs game when he. I'm pretty sure he only averaged like 3.7 a carry. He had a Benny type day.
He had one longer run.
Yeah, which is never good when you end up have a longer run and end up averaging 3.7 a carry.
Correct.
I thought this was a very nice showing for a guy who. I think is a better receiver maybe than even as a runner, and I thought his vision and sort of the little hop step and cuts in the backfield, you know, anti Lawrence Maroney to take it back a couple of years.
To what do we, you know, owe the lack of offensive production for the first stringers? I mean, because they really didn't do anything. You know, if it wasn't for a couple miscues by who are they playing? The Saints. you know, they
there
would
was
have
a
had,
ton of defensive penalties on the Saints that
yeah they would have had
two,
quicker
two of which came on fourth down.
Right, exactly. So
the offensive line struggled.
So what do we owe that to?
The offensive part line
of
it is
the offensive
yeah, here's,
line.
Here's where you have to you know,
just like they struggled, by the way, in practice on Tuesday before the game when it just looked like Brady was off because everything was coming faster and there was somebody coming off the edge and, you know, some of it was Will Smith. I mean, the offensive line struggled. There's no way to get around it.
Yeah, you can't. Andy and I can't get stubborn about what the guys have done that are actually here. And they did. They struggled. And I thought Nate Solder struggled, yeah, which is the one thing that would be of concern for me because obviously he's going to be there even when all the guys come back. They can't have him getting beat consistently, which he's been having have happen to him over the last week, week and a half or so. And then the penalties, you know, good call, bad call, replacement refs, whatever refs. You can't.
Oh,
have,
that's not a hold.
You can't have holding
back to
penalties.
High school.
So on Sunday, Logan Mankins came back to practice. Does that help Solder having him next to him?
Yeah,
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So that might help Solder mm-hmm. a little bit. He's back, and I think today's the first day he can actually be in pads.
That's
yeah.
right.
He's had 2 days
he's
in shells.
He's had 2 days
so
in shells.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be out there.
So that's good news. What other news do you want to bring up?
Plaxico Burress was in yep. for a workout, reportedly. Yep.
Over the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Although Bill would not say whether or not he specifically was here, but by all accounts, according to all the reports, it was yep. it was Plax.
He also wouldn't say that Dane Fletcher was done for the year, even though
he was about
yeah.
to cut him.
Yeah. He's been waived and...
He'll be
hopefully
back.
Pass through waivers and get
Paul,
put on IR, but
think of Dane
watch
Fletcher
out for the
waivers.
Giants.
Well, they don't
say.
Have to worry about anybody claiming them because the Patriots
now,
are the only
team that
claims.
Now, why couldn't you just put him on IR? Is it a money thing?
No, it's a rule thing.
Why?
You just can't. It's not the way it works.
Young
until
players, they don't want to...
you want you stashing young
they
players
They don't want
like
you
that.
Stashing young guys on injury reserve that you know aren't going to be able to play for you that year.
So they... Try to make it fair by a let.
So they make you wait. So if you
want
to
so, so, yeah. if you so want anyone that guy. Hasn't had four crude seasons, are we talking about? Or what are we talking about
it,
as far as
young? I
think
it would be three.
I think it's three, but in that area.
It's three or four.
So less than three accrued seasons, you have to put them on waivers before you can put them on IR.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
And Fletcher is in his third season.
Yeah. I was just asking for an answer, not a wisecrack from Andy. You know, because it's a rule.
Well, that's what we tell people sometimes when they ask.
Trying to get a little clarification.
That's what
fairness
you get,
to Andy. That's the
you
answer
get.
You probably would have received had you asked it in a press conference.
Right.
I'm just saying.
And
right.
I learned from Bill. I try to take my
okay.
The man.
But so they do open themselves up for a situation like Jake Ballard, where any of the other 31 teams could claim him, and you would lose him. I don't anticipate that happening. I don't think anybody would claim.
Yeah, there
backup,
was actually
a backup special
one of our photographers, David Silverman, had a. Picture. I want to call it a nice picture, but a very
wow.
clear picture of him planting in the knee going
the wrong way.
Yeah.
It was a non-contact injury. It was so, Welker.
Yeah. It was just unfortunate.
We don't like
the way
to use those photos in PFW, but I saw what happened. And he didn't get hit.
No.
It
no.
Just,
he just planted
yeah.
awkwardly and he
yep.
went
happens
sideways.
A lot.
Yeah.
Happens
I watched
a lot.
The replay on the, was it Game Rewind? NFL
yeah.
Rewind
yeah.
package thing?
So, too bad for him. Got hurt last year, and that kind of stunted his growth, and now you got this going
this
on.
This could
so.
Stunt his career.
It is. It really is unfortunate in his case, too. Not just – I know he's, you in quotes, just a backup linebacker and special teamer, but he's one of the rare rookies that I remember getting early and very high praise from Bill Belichick in his first training camp. You don't really hear Bill going all flowery on guys that early in their career. And I remember when we asked him about Dane Fletcher 2 years ago – he was effusive, talking about how he made the change. I mean, that's a guy that they clearly liked. And for him to be, you know, star-crossed with these injuries, it's unfortunate because you'd like to see what his potential could be.
We mentioned Mankins came back out of practice yesterday was Hernandez and Gronkowski. What do we make of that?
I'm not really sure. But, I mean, they were up. They were all – I would throw Brandon Lloyd in there, too. They were all out on the field you know,
on Sunday they were
it, now,
doing
if,
their
if
rehab
if it was any
stuff
type of leg injury, you wouldn't have them just standing around, would you? You know,
who knows?
I don't know. I don't know what the injury. I mean,
I mean, Dennard has a leg injury, and he's
around
out
there
every
day.
Day.
Yeah, a lot of guys have been out
you know,
there.
You
know,
we know Gronk is obviously coming off the ankle surgery. I don't know if this has anything to do with that. If they're trying to monitor the reps or, you know, just sort of lighten his load in some way, but I don't know exactly what to make of it. I think it's hard to say in Foxborough anytime you're speculating, and you shouldn't do that when it comes to injuries around here.
And Hernandez was out there on Sunday.
Yep, and looked good.
Looks great. Looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Maybe it's been an issue. I mean, tight end and fullback, they basically have, you know, nobody to practice. Tyler Urban is now the top tight end out there. With
Alex Silvestro,
who's, you know, a defensive lineman who was so giddy because he caught a pass.
Well, you did observe yesterday, Andy, that number 12 spent an inordinate amount of time in the potty. And I speculated that maybe there's a virus going around. And
I did not speculate that. I just had never seen any player, certainly not the franchise quarterback, spend over 10 minutes in the porta potty on a hot day while practice was still going on.
Right.
Maybe he was reading PFW.
I just thought maybe he had Mexican for lunch or something. Maybe Ted Harper's new nutrition didn't sit well.
Well, you never know.
Went right through him like Andy Hart's system.
There could be something going around.
Blueberries, you know, with me.
So. Yeah, anything with you.
Good point. Yeah. Papagino's pizza.
All right, so anything
else?
Are
we not going to talk Plaxico? Every time I bring up Plaxico,
What is it? You tell me what.
But he's an interesting guy, whether there's anything to it or not.
Okay, well.
He's a guy that beat you in a Super Bowl, who's a proven receiver, who was on your division rival last year and had a decent season, who also happened to have shot himself in the leg at one point in his career. I mean, there's a lot there.
So
and we're just going to skip right over it. It's not Taylor Price.
Any interest?
Yeah. No.
Okay, so that's kind of why.
But he's a story. Is he not a story? I mean, if you're going to discuss hot button.
Absolutely.
The fact that Plaxico Burress was here is interesting on some level.
Well, you know, and we don't know all the other guys that are here because they work out a lot of guys, and some of the times it gets leaked out by an agent, sometimes it doesn't. In this case, it did, maybe by the agent trying to beef up interest for him. But why isn't the team that had him last year interested in him?
Well, my guess is he's a problem. Even though in our paper, he's quoted as saying, you know, I'm not a problem or whatever. The Jets have no receivers. He was relatively productive straight out of jail for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think he'd be a little better now, even though he's, you know, 35. I got to think he was part of the locker room problem, not the solution in New York.
Right.
He is 35, too.
Yeah.
Right, but they have nobody.
I'm not talking about for the Jets.
Cromartie's their number two guy.
Right. Gosh, just ask him.
The Patriots already have a good share of 30-plus receivers. I'm not sure adding another one makes a lot of sense.
Unless they're unhappy with some of the 30-plus receivers they have right now.
I thought both of those were interesting. You could see these as sort of kicking the reports that Chad Clifton was also going to work out at some point, coming off the fact that Nate Solder struggled. And we've all said they don't really have a backup left tackle. They don't really have somebody you'd say.
Bill even said that yesterday.
Right. And so maybe that's hey, Solder, I know we've kind of given you the job, but there's veterans out there we can bring in. Don't think you're just going to cakewalk through this.
Right.
So maybe there's something to that with Burress. I don't know.
Yep. And then, of course, the news on Chad Johnson.
He was trying to get ahead in Miami,
You know, so he's been released, and who knows what's going to happen with him. But, it's just
over.
Too bad for him. But if he did, in fact, do what he did, he deserves to get released. And
right, but if he did, if she had butted him, then he got screwed. He got railroaded.
But, you know, we heard about, he's looking really good in training camp. Now we're hearing he dropped all these passes.
Well, we said he looked really good because that's how they edited it on Hard Knocks.
Right.
He looked like he was catching everything. He was
diving. I hadn't heard that he dropped a bunch of passes.
Yeah, I heard that yesterday.
Why didn't they report that before he
headbutted
somebody?
I hadn't seen any of that. But I do applaud, and I know it's easy when a guy's not, you know, very good. I do applaud the Dolphins for bang. They told him when he came in, you got one chance. Well, that was his one chance. They lived up to their word.
And he kind of used his one chance dropping 7 F-bombs in a press conference.
Well, Philbin said it wasn't just – it was other things, too.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
I think that was part of it.
Right.
We're not going to be a Super Bowl contender. We need to be building something here. And you standing in front of the media dropping F-bombs is not building anything for this team.
Right. So I give them credit, especially in light – I still haven't seen Hard Knocks, and I know you guys did, and you kind of thought that Philbin was a little –
Wishy-washy
in the way he reprimanded him. You know, well, this is not wishy-washy. This is, you know, 12 hours after something happened, they came down with the hammer. I applaud that.
Although I did see he couldn't do the Belichick, where I saw tweets that Philbin said he wasn't going to talk about Ocho Cinco and then spent 20 minutes explaining the situation.
Harvey Green finally had to step in and say, all right, that's enough.
That Bill
questions
doesn't do that again. Bill just says, I think we've moved on. You have the release.
Right,
and
we're
we
talking about guys that are
right
here.
And Bill wouldn't break from that, and Philbin did.
He'll learn.
He won't. Maybe on his next job.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at Patriots.com. The Patriots are practicing today at 1:30, and they'll practice also Wednesday and Thursday, 1:30 to 4, and that's it for the public. So Thursday is your last chance to see the Patriots up close in training camp. We think the media might have a little access beyond that. We don't know, though. It's going to be a crazy schedule coming up.
Well, we will in Tampa.
Yeah, we'll have – that's true, Eric. Very good. We'll have access to the Patriots practicing in Tampa, but their schedule gets really crazy, right?
Yes.
We've got the game Monday night.
Yep.
Then we turn around and we fly to Tampa from Tuesday to Friday.
Yep.
Come back Friday.
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. And then they're going to have the Giants.
Couple
game.
Of days, and then Tuesday we leave for New York.
Right.
Wednesday we have the game. Thursday right. we come back home in the morning.
Eric's loving this.
I think you're going to see
the world traveler. He loves this travel.
Just move. Let's get going. Yeah. Let's get
you're
going
to see some
squid squad
games coming up.
Yeah, now, which one will be the B team?
Yeah, those guys can't play.
There's no other way to do it. I mean, Bill Belichick was on the big show, his first Patriots Monday yesterday, and they talked to him about, you know, how you're approaching this, and he says we're going to have to look at, you know, guys and in their availability and how we use them. And
so wouldn't you think they're probably not going to play versus the Eagles, then they'll play versus the Bucks, and then not play versus
I think
by
would,
they, I mean.
Think
that's
the
how
first
I feel.
Stringers. It makes sense because of the time you have with the Bucks to
right.
be able to do
because if you play against the Eagles, then you can't play against the Bucks. And then if you don't play against the Bucks, I don't think you want to play them right before the you know,
even then,
traditionally the third one is the
right. But even the practices, though, I think is a good point. They're going to want to have their guys, their frontline guys, be able to practice.
Right, right.
And if they play Monday night, it's going to be hard to come out full bore practice on Wednesday.
Well, that's what he said. Bill said that this is a big week for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And I think what he means is this week of practice and this game coming up is when you're going to show me something for the bubble guys.
I mean, look at receiver. I mean, you have Ebert and you have Hollywood, but the other guys are going to have to play. I mean, we talked about it last week, how Gaffney was sort of in that second grouping of receivers.
Yeah.
Some of them have to play.
This is
as
the
Bill
drawback
say,
of having all those veterans.
Can't give everybody time off. I mean,
the drawback of having all those veterans, guys like Edelman, you know.
Be good for some
He's going to have to go out and play.
Trevor Scott, it'll be good for him against the Eagles to play. Maybe he'll start against the Eagles and we can see.
Right.
Are you a Jag who dominates fourth quarters, or are you somebody who might help?
Who are some of the other guys? You know, I think Bill used the term, it's time to make a move. You know, for some of these guys, it's time to make a move. You know, who are some of the guys you think it's time to
I think
to
Trevor
make a
Scott
move
is atop that list.
I would agree with
Fish
you.
Fish or McBate, yeah. Because if he doesn't do anything, I think Chandler Jones will be wearing 99 in about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and he started to do it, but Dan Copen.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
You know, you might be right there, Eric.
Yesterday was the first time in I don't remember how many practices that he actually started. He was with the regular group with Tom Brady behind him. He also started the Saints game, which we should point out, too, after not having started practices. So
started.
I know. I keep using it. You know what I mean. With the first group.
And I think guys along the defensive line.
I was just going to say that whole group of Ron Brace and et al. Yeah. And they're not all making it. So somebody's going
to
be on the way out.
Separate yourself.
Yep.
But you don't want to do it too early, like the marathon runner I saw in the Olympics, and then you fade late, and then you cut again.
There's a guy that I think needs to pick it up.
Comes in last.
He's not in danger of losing a roster spot, but Marcus Cannon, I think, needs to be better. And I think he needs to pick up his play a little bit. If he's legitimately going to be the option, if Vollmer can't play, I think he needs to improve.
Yeah, I don't think he can. Well, I think he is what he is, and that's not a right tackle in the National Football League, as Bill would say.
I had a funny incident with the offensive line yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I was going up to the club level to do some testing on the club app that we run during the games, and so I get off the elevator and immediately met by a security guard that says, "Oh, you can't come in. They're doing some walkthroughs up here." So I said, "Oh, okay." So I turn around and I call for the elevator. While I'm waiting, they must have been breaking up right at that time, but the whole offensive line comes and joins me in the elevator, and I've got my PFW shirt on, and I see Mankin's kind of giving me a weird look like, "What the hell are you doing up here?"
Had nothing to do with the shirt.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I was easily identifiable.
I'm kidding.
That's the idea.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that was kind of awkward.
What the hell are you doing here?
Kind of awkward. But I was also worried about being on that elevator with the entire offensive line.
Plummeting to your death.
Right.
How many were there in there?
Everybody except Marcus Cannon. They left him outside to wait. They couldn't fit him.
Wow.
So there was a good 10 guys
oh, yeah.
that all weighed 300 plus.
Right, right. Plus me.
And Fred. And Fred.
Yeah, I was including him.
So 11 guys.
I'm going to check the little sign next time I ride the elevator to see what the weight limit is.
Right.
Oof. I'm sure there's springs.
I'm going to take the stairs up and down from now on.
Fred doesn't do that. He would die.
He's an idiot.
Yes, he is.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Ping Pong writes in.
Ping Pong!
He wants to know how Paul and Andy fared in the NSNE.
So do Paul and Andy.
Don't know.
You guys don't know?
Don't know.
I tweeted Tangway last night because I assumed after the 5,000th episode that it was somehow tied in. And he said, I don't know.
Yeah, they swept that under the rug.
Yeah, because they
you
didn't
go to the 500th episode, Paulie?
No, I didn't get out of here until
wait a minute, it's 5,000 episodes.
Well, whatever.
I was trying to do the math. How the hell is that possible that they have 5,000 episodes? They haven't been on that long.
It's like 10 years.
Well, they rerun it, don't
They've
they?
They've been on for 10
and it's
years?
Twice
yes.
a night.
they
twice
replays.
A night for 10 years.
They've been on that long.
The, yes. Yeah, the voting page is taken down. Can't even find it.
They were showing clips from 2002 last night.
CSNNE has been around for 10 years.
It was Fox Sportsnet at the time.
Okay, well, that doesn't count.
No, what.
The show is the same.
The show
Sports
is the same.
Tonight is the same.
Sports Tonight has been around for 10 years.
So they're saying
it's been
two
Uno,
shows
it's been
the
matter of fact,
Sun, it's...
Tangway was on the original. He's right. still the host.
He's the one who was left behind.
So they're saying that's how they do it, two shows a night. It's really one big show. That's not fair either.
No, it's two separate shows,
thankfully. That's how Paul and Andy get on.
Right.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, you could say it's not a great show, and I would have a hard time arguing with you, but... They have two
it's
separate
like a regular
shows
6 and 11
every
newscast.
Night.
There are two right. different shows. It's mostly the okay. same news, but it's right. a different show.
All right. So, okay. So now the math makes sense. But
it's 730
a year. I know.
They
didn't change to CSN and NNE a couple years ago, yeah. right?
Right. But that happened. I mean,
okay.
They just it's the same network. It's just
so we don't know who won. And they
no.
don't care.
And they won't tell us.
And I don't think they'll ever reveal
which
that.
Means you guys probably
which
won.
Which is
one
fine,
of you guys
because now
won.
I don't have to listen to Andy right. taunt me.
PFW won.
PFW definitely won.
Yeah.
You're right. Good call. It's like when, you know, the Americans. It's an American versus an
right.
American in the final.
Right.
The beach volleyball. The Americans win.
Tyler from
Somewhere. Now I'm Misty May, and
someone
you're the other schlups.
Someone would argue that. The Americans won? Really?
Tyler from Georgia's... emailing in, he says, I was sitting in Starbucks reading last week's PFW when a gentleman asked me what I was reading. I showed him my paper and told him he could subscribe online. That said, I was curious as to who I need to talk to about receiving my commission check. We'll send you your 25 cents in the mail, Tyler.
Wait a minute. How in Georgia?
In Georgia.
So how did he know he was a Patriots fan?
Well, the guy obviously saw what he was reading and said, hey, how do I get that? Because he must have been a Patriots fan as well.
Maybe it's family of... Jackie UK.
Could be. And while you're checking on that, I was also curious if there has been any noticeable differences mentioned by players regarding the Nike uniforms. Have we heard anything about that?
I have not, actually.
About what specifically?
The Nike uniforms.
Whether they like them or not?
Well, that was the first opportunity to wear them in the game. So did we hear anything about that?
I didn't.
I have not.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Let's see. TG and NJ says, I'm not worried about the offense. Typical. Even the defense seems to be heading in the right direction. Andy chimes in here. These are, I guess, things that I'm saying. I think the run game could develop as well. It's the O-line and the backup QBs that are the big issue. Everybody keeps saying that it will all work out, but I'm still concerned about the O-line. Too many issues for it to work itself out as quickly and completely as everyone says. If Brady doesn't get the protection he needs, this vaunted juggernaut isn't going very far. Are there any backup QBs walking the streets that the Patriots could bring in for a look-see? Are there any QBs on current rosters that may get cut that would be worth bringing in? Hate to say it, but as Brady goes, so goes the 2012 Patriots. And hey,
I agree with that. I just don't agree that it will be much different. Depending on who the backup
right.
is. Brady's that good. He makes that much of a difference.
And what about the special teams? Are there any issues there? Keep up the great work. Best online radio NFL football talk show that focuses on a single team.
special teams-wise, I still think they need to settle on a productive kickoff returner. They have a couple of guys who've been doing it, but I don't think it's...
But need to is
well, yeah, I mean,
relative.
Sure.
They can start at the 20 and they'll
yes.
drive 80.
Right.
If they start at the 28, they'll drive...
It'd be nice. It'd be nicer if they could
quick math.
Start a little bit farther than they did last
yes,
year.
Yes, I agree. But as long as whoever's back there isn't dropping the ball and causing turnovers,
yeah.
they'll be okay.
Getting 3-yard returns.
Yeah, like Edelman the other night in the game when he fumbled and bumbled and muffed and didn't know the rule and all that.
Interestingly, Adam Schefter is now evidently walking away from his prediction that Ryan Mallett would light it up.
And really?
One of the most impressive young players. Didn't mention anything about that, but one of his preseason observations now is that the Patriots' defense will be better. It's funny how when you actually see the team, you could make an opinion that's, you know, born out of fact, as opposed to just, you know, throwing something out there. Just kidding, Adam. We love you.
Webradio@patriots.com. Let's see. Robert writes in, there's no love lost between Andy Hart and Chad Johnson, yet he strikes the right tenor about Joe Philbin's response in the Dolphins' actions. Philbin's no Bill Belichick. This bodes well for the Pats during regular season. There's two wins right off the bat. The Miami Dolphins are becoming the Cubs of the NFL.
You know, I think Miami is I don't think they're a contender by any stretch before anybody makes fun of me, but I think they're kind of an intriguing team. I like Joe Philbin, and I think that they made a good move in going. I don't know if they'll ever be able to win consistently with the ownership that they have in place, because I think his mind isn't on the right things, you know, like Hard Knocks.
Right.
But
orange carpets.
I think they have – I don't know. I'm curious to watch them play this year and see how it all unfolds, because I think they have
the pieces in place.
Well, I don't think this year it will. No,
yeah.
I don't think he'll play this year.
You know?
Or I don't think he'll play much if he does.
Hard Knocks made it seem like he immediately walked in and was the best quarterback on the field.
Unless they go on a like last year, what were they, like 0-8 to start last year?
Something like that
happens to them, then yeah, I think he'll take over at some point and play the rest of the year. But I think Garrard and Moore will play for them. And I think they'll be reasonably competitive.
But
I don't think they're going
while.
To be for 3 weeks.
Oh, only 3 weeks?
Yeah, he was out. He's out the 2 to 4 weeks with knee surgery. And been out one.
I thought it was longer than that.
Same jag.
Absolutely.
But a
better jag than they've had. Better than Chad Henne. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the guy that they've had the last couple of years.
That's not good for the Patriots secondary.
I think there's some talent in Miami. I don't think they're the Cubs. I don't think they're a laughing stock. I disagree with that characterization. I think there are a lot of teams worse off than the Miami Dolphins. I think
so. Paul, a Dolphin lover.
Unfortunately for Miami, if you're a Dolphins fan, it doesn't matter because you're stuck behind the Patriots.
Who's worse off, do you think? Like really dire straits, worse off.
Oh, anybody.
Oh, open-ended. I was like, I thought there was a comparison.
Pretty much anybody other than Houston in the AFC South. I think those teams all stink. I think they're rancid. Tennessee, Jacksonville, Indianapolis. Obviously, Indianapolis is better off now because they have the future, but that's a bad team.
Well, but you were saying laughing. You said, yeah, I don't think they're a laughing stock.
I think last year the Colts obviously were a laughing stock.
Yes,
Jacksonville
obviously.
Was a laughing stock.
Jacksonville's pretty close to just a permanent laughingstock.
Yeah.
Because of the city, the stadium, the...
You know, Miami, in the last half of the season last year, Miami was very competitive.
They were competitive, yeah.
And, you know, I just saw something that popped up about Matt Moore. You know, he's 13-12 as a starting quarterback.
Stop that. Is that right?
I mean, you would think he's just like a career backup who's never really, you know... I find it stunning that, you know, he took over a winless team last year, and his record's not winless. I mean, he found a way to win more than he lost.
Yep.
I don't think they're that bad.
Cleveland might be a team that could bottom out this year because of the ownership situation and coaches. I heard coaches feel like they're in limbo a little bit. And,
well, yeah.
An old rookie quarterback.
They think that the guy's going to bring in his own guy to run the show, and Holmgren will be out. And if Holmgren's out, then the coaches are out.
Trent Richardson gets
hurt. That could go south up there. Or, you know, who knows? Maybe.
And I don't think Miami is going to win like 10 or 12 games. So, I mean, I think if they got anywhere near 500, I think that would be a terrific season for them. But I just don't think of them as a 3-13 train wreck the way I do some other teams. Now, maybe they will, or maybe they'll just...
Well, they could end up being
terrible.
3-13, but not be a train wreck. You know what I mean? Like, they could be competitive.
They could be a good 3-13.
No, seriously. I mean,
I know what you mean, but I just don't think they're that bad. I think they'll find a way to win a handful of games, you know, 6, 7, 8 games.
All right. Nick writes in, let me begin by saying that I absolutely love the Patriots app. It helps me keep up with the team and listen to all the fantastic PFW-related radio broadcasts. Soon after downloading the app for my iPhone, it quickly became the app I use the most. Naturally, as soon as I got a new Android phone, it was the first app I downloaded, and it continued to be my most used. However, Your latest update has me distraught. Uh-oh. In order to apparently add a new roster section and a more robust game day experience, the app needs me to give it access to my sensitive log data, effectively letting it access all my personal data, including all the ways in which I use my phone. I cannot install this update with this permission in place and will unfortunately have to stop using the app if I am left with without another option. Judging by the review section of the app, I am not the only one who feels this way. Right, if there is anything you could tell me about this, it would be much appreciated. I would love to continue using the app.
Well,
don't look at me.
I know.
We're all looking at you.
I don't know. I don't know why anything's different. It might be just a thing with Android, because I know with Android, when you download an app, because I have both phones, they reveal a lot more things that iPhone doesn't, and they ask you for permission. Oh, you know, is it okay for them to geolocate? Is it okay to do this? And I don't know if our app's that much different from any other app, you know. But we're not asking for any personal information, so there's none for us to get. When you download the app, we don't ask for any info, and neither Google nor iPhone gives us the info.
So gives it.
You know, so... And we're not tracking what you do.
Blah, 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 blah.
You know, so I don't know what that could be. Unless you use the point system, the Session M point systems, which is kind of cool. You can redeem those for a lot of cool stuff. I think if you sign up with them, they would ask for some stuff, but we don't. So I don't know. Maybe Chris Ferreira can, if he's listening, fill us in on what might have changed.
I doubt it.
I doubt it.
So anyway, I hope you keep using it. By the way, there's a new iPad update available just today for Patriots Football Daily. So if you have an iPad app, or you know, if you already have the app, you can upgrade it today.
Or you could go get it today.
Right. So that's called Patriots Football Daily, available in iTunes.
Or if you're a subscriber,
right,
you get it.
If you're a subscriber, you get it for free.
Freddie, how about the officials? What's your concern level? Do you like the rest of the powers that be in the NFL that are finding it necessary to take a rocket shot every time there's something that goes wrong?
I would say if the season started today, there would be a 20% decrease in the quality of officiating, which, you know, depending on who you are, that may not be that big a deal.
Well, I saw that the NFL put out something was it yesterday that they said that they now expect to start the season with the replacements?
Well, they're playing hardball.
Yeah, right. I mean, obviously it's a negotiating ploy. I just – listen, I'm not trying to tell you that these replacement guys are going to be as good as the regular refs. I mean, they're not. They're not as experienced. They're not as talented and all of that. But I can recall chapter and verse thousands of calls that we all sat here and just were like – I can't believe that call was just made. And I don't remember the amount of attention like they're doing right now. I mean, every time these guys breathe, it's being evaluated by everybody on these football shows on NFL Network, on ESPN. And I told you, I was watching a little bit of the game. This is actually the game, the Giants that they're showing right now, the Giants and Jacksonville. Kevin Harlan, who is one of the regular, I think he's on Fox. Or yep. He was anyway. Yeah, he was one of their regular play-by-play guys, yep. Was doing the game for Jacksonville, and the chains come out, and they were having a hard time getting it all situated. So the color guy goes, well, are these replacement chain gang guys too? And Harlan said, no, those are the regular guys, but they take their lead from the on-field officials. I'm like, really? So you'd never seen guys come off the sideline with the chains and not quite have it right immediately, right. And was that always the fault of Ed Hockley and the guys on the field?
Yeah,
I just think.
Well, who was it, Pete Prisco, Andy, that said
this is out of control?
The way that they're dissecting every little play and call by the refs now, I hope they do the same when the regular ones come back.
Right,
it's only fair.
Mm. Right, the standard is not
and the thing
same.
We forget about is that there's a preseason for refs too, and they're not getting it. So let's just say that they resolve this thing for the first week. These guys are going to come in cold. Right. Now, I know Hockley is supposedly getting together with them.
He's been lifting.
Yeah, and they've been, practicing on their own. But there's nothing like actually getting in there. So these guys are going to come in cold, if they're lucky, in week one, and probably be just as bad as the guys they just replaced.
Well, and I do
I
think that
up and put them down.
When they come back, I do think they'll be scrutinized tightly just because of
sure.
all of it. You'll hear a lot of sarcastic comments like, you know, oh, geez, why don't you hold out for a little more money? You know,
but not internally.
No, no, no. But that's what I'm saying. That's where the difference is. They won't be like, you know, half-hour segments on NFL Network.
No,
you know, dissecting
that'll
where they spotted the ball,
right.
like they're doing now with these poor guys. And like I said, I know they're not as good as the regular refs, but I just think it's reached a point of almost absurdity the way they're being scrutinized.
And I do wonder, like, what exactly the differences are. Like, you know, if we knew all the issues fairly, whose side we would come down on. I don't know. You know, are the refs asking for too much, or is it the league just being, you know, stingy?
Hearing a lot of economy talk from the league.
Oh.
So I don't know what they're asking for either, because that changes
what economy?
Well, how bad the economy is, they can't afford to pay any more. That's kind
Didn't
of
Nike just pay five times as much for the uniforms so as Reebok did?
So we know where Andy Hart is coming down on the argument.
Yeah, well, if that's
yes,
the
that
thing,
was kind
is,
of my
is it
point,
just
yeah.
money? Because I also heard there's benefits and there's adding another full-time employee.
And one, they want yeah. to be able to, like, bench bad referees if they grade out poorly.
Well, the league wants
Paul's
to
in favor
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, so maybe the refs don't like
oh,
that.
Oh, of course
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
And that's how all these unions work. God forbid we're actually called on our, you know, production.
Right.
That, no union wants that.
We got to protect.
Yeah. Right.
Got to protect the brothers.
Police officers do stupid stuff, and they go on paid leave forever before they can finally get fired. I mean.
Right. So, you know, there's
unions on line one want to talk to Andy.
I'm sure money is the main issue, but there's probably
it,
other
I
things too. And it'd be interesting to know what all of them are fairly, you know, so that we could make a judgment. But right now, I have no idea whose side I would fall on.
I believe Peter King wrote the number, which means it could be wrong. $20 million over 6 years would be like the total. He gave a total number over 6 years.
What does that mean per guy? I don't know what even that means. You know?
Why are you yelling at me?
I don't know what that means.
Like if right now the number is 200 million and you're adding 10%,
right.
is that big? Is that a big deal? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who gets 10% raises? Well, let me rephrase that. I don't get a 10% raise. Maybe you do.
But maybe they haven't had a raise in 6 years. Who knows? Maybe they're making up for lost ground. Those are some of the details that you just never get to find out.
I don't care. They have the best part-time job on the planet.
I think there's a lot of stress involved. I do.
Ooh,
ooh, ooh, ooh. No, look.
Look, I do think there's some stress involved, but it's stress that you willingly accept.
Yeah, it's also hard for the average fan to reconcile that these guys who work half a year at this job get paid six figures.
Half a year? Three days a week or whatever. Like, they fly in on a Friday, and the rest of the week they're working as lawyers.
But there's something to be said about...
And they
about,
don't want to go full-time because they don't want to give up their real job.
But there's something to be said about if you expect... you know, world-class performance, you know, maybe that's worth paying for.
Are you telling me they're not the highest-paid football officials on
I
the planet?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty damn sure they're the highest-paid football officials
on
the planet.
You don't think the NFL referees
NFL
are the highest-paid football referees in the world?
Well, I don't know.
Who else would be?
I mean basketball might.
No, football. I just said football.
Football. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, but I'm talking about...
The other sports
I'm just talking
probably
about,
should make more. They
I'm not
work
talking
a lot
about
more.
Football. And, I'm talking about refereeing in general. If you expect world-class officiating... You know, maybe they're not paying world-class.
But no, we compare football to football.
Right. No, because the other sports all work.
Tom Brady doesn't make as much as Alec Rodriguez. That's not fair. Go play baseball.
I mean,
if you want to be a baseball referee umpire, go play umpire baseball.
The other sports work far more. They get paid for working more often.
Right. They're on the road all the time.
I'm just talking about per game. You know, you can average it out.
You
can't, though. It's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Well, different sports. I could argue that baseball is easier because it's slower.
Baseball would be up in arms if they broke it down to a per game basis. Work 180 games a year. These guys, you know, probably making roughly the same amount of money.
I'm not ready to rush the defense of either.
No, I'm not either.
You know, and I think maybe, you know, if the refs are saying, look, you want us to be that much better, give us the tools to do that, and that means time. We need more time,
sure.
And, you know, and that means money. So I don't know.
I'm a contradiction because I'm anti-union but pro-employee. Which I don't know if you really can do that.
Sure you can.
I think unions suck and ruin it for the good employees, but if you're a good employee, you're better off with a union.
Well, there has to be a balance, you
right.
know, because either side will take advantage mm-hmm. if they're given,
right.
you know, so there has to be a balance.
Right.
And that's where I don't know where the balance is right now. If the balance is way on the league side right now or if the refs have been taken advantage for a long time, I don't know. So anyway, Jason in Maine writes in. He says, I wasn't able to watch the first preseason game last week and was looking at the box score and wasn't able to find a trace of Wes Welker. Did he play? And if so, was he just not able to get open or make any catches? I know he probably didn't play very long, but what did he look like?
I don't remember.
I mean, he wasn't targeted.
No. He played.
He played.
As I said to Paul, they went early to Stallworth, Edelman.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there were some receivers rotating
Gronk
through
was the first
early.
Throw.
So, yeah, they, no, but I'm saying, like, to me, Stallworth and Edelman are not starting receivers on this team.
I agree.
And they were in very early.
Yeah, he played the first two series. And I thought there was a ball thrown in his direction. There wasn't. Evidently not if he wasn't on the box score. So
I wouldn't say the box score is always
I wouldn't always go back.
They also said Danny Woodhead had the 3-yard return, was Edelman.
Yeah, they had a little tough time.
They also said we started in a 3-4. We didn't play any 3-4.
In any regard, Andy's point is accurate because they did go with Edelman and Stallworth quickly, and that, you know, obviously Edelman, that puts Welker over to the side. So he didn't play much.
Craig from Brockville, Ontario. I was down at camp last week and had some things I was watching. Vereen played well, and it looks like he has the speed to get off to the edge. Gaffney and Brady's rapport was apparent on the field. Lloyd was very smooth in and out of his breaks, but had a lot of drops. We still need a kick returner instead of the short striders like Woodhead and Edelman. The O-line played terrible in practice in the game. It was a great trip, and after seeing the team in person, I think this year could be something special.
Fred Kirsch.
No?
Not sure Gaffney and Brady were even on the field at the same time. Maybe a play.
For what? The game?
He was talking about training camp.
Practice, too. He also
went training camp.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And speaking of Gaffney, Alex in Maryland says...
When did Brent Lloyd have a lot of drops?
Not sure I agree with that.
I was going to say that.
I remember drops.
He has dropped the ball, but not there were lots. Regularly. Yeah. No.
He had the one deep ball that he short-armed.
Thought.
But that, you know, that was few and far between in terms of balls that he had a chance to catch that he hasn't.
Alex in Maryland says, what's been going on with Gaffney? Everyone was saying how he was a lock to make the team earlier this preseason, but I haven't heard anything about him. Has he looked good in practice? Do you think Plaxico Burress would be a better third wide receiver option?
No.
No, I think Gaffney's been fine.
I don't. I haven't. I don't like Plax, so maybe that's clouding my judgment.
And also, we kind of know what we have with Gaffney. We've seen him do what he does. There's not really much to talk about.
He's far more versatile, and for backup players, I like versatility.
Mm. That would be the reason why I would keep him, but I haven't been. I mean, I think he's right. I mean, I haven't really seen as much from him as other people have.
See, the only thing I've seen is I think Lloyd has had a good camp.
I agree.
Branch, Stallworth, Gaffney, I've seen
they've
some
had
plays,
their days.
But
they've had days
I wouldn't
here
say
and there,
I've
but
seen
not much.
A ton from any of them. So, I mean, is that a bad thing? I don't. It's not like I've seen them drop a ton of. They just haven't flashed.
Right. Brett in Illinois. Eric just said, one of you probably won while talking about the CSNNE contest. Could you ask him how someone outside of the two finalists could win a contest?
I love when they nitpick Eric.
Eric's looking like, you know.
We don't know for sure that they were in the finals against each other.
Oh, we do. Yes, we do. Yeah.
They were.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought that was part of the whole
No, we knew they was
charade. We were the final.
Came down to those two. We don't know who won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We may never know.
I didn't know that a-hole on the other end of the
email. Wow.
Wow.
Who was it?
Wow.
So,
the guy that wants to fight Pepe.
Yeah.
So now he has two enemies. High school official
replacement ref.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm with Eric now. A-hole.
It's really unfortunate that you made me take Eric's side.
Colin Waterloo says, in your opinion,
Colin?
Could our screen game help nullify
always
some issues with the
mind.
Offensive line? Josh McDaniels is bringing more screens and draws back into the offense. And I think it's a good way to wear down defensive lines. Could bubble screens early in games help out a shaky O-line? Brady is great at getting the ball out early. This is a question I meant to ask you guys. Everyone saw, McDaniels is back and there's going to be more screens. I mean, didn't they run screens since McDaniels?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I
do
are
agree.
Are we overblowing this a little bit?
Yes, I do
we
agree,
always overblow
though,
everything.
But I agree with the premise of helping the offensive line. I do think that can be a way to help a little bit.
If the guys can't get
out
there and
I was
block.
Doing the blog, and they ran a screen, and somebody on the blog said, oh, it's great to see the screen back here in New England.
Well, they've They've run wide receiver screens quite a bit since McDaniels left, but I think they're talking about the traditional running back screen pass.
And you know why that's going to look better?
They haven't run that many of those.
Shane Green's better at it, and he's a better player.
And it's
Kevin
a different
Falk
play.
Was at the end of the line, and Danny Woodhead,
It's a different play entirely.
Well, I know they've run it to Woodhead. I know they've run those to Woodhead.
They even ran them, late last year, believe it or not, one of the biggest plays that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has had was like a 50-yard screen pass.
Right.
Which I forget the game it was, but it was one of the games late last year. They use different guys. In regard to that, I think Eric and Andy are right. I think Shane Vereen's going to be a guy that gets some opportunities to have those. But I mean, I agree with you. I think they've run a lot of screens.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, it probably does help an offensive line to run everyone once in a while to keep the defense on its heels a little bit.
Well, the thing is, in being bad at pass protection, you're luring them into the screen because they're getting so excited that they're beating you every play that they beat you and don't realize, oh, you let me beat you on that one. And now Shane Vereen just went 35 yards down the field. But the other part of that is if the guys can't block on the screens, if they're not capable of getting out there and leading the way. Now, we know Mankins is, right? But if it's not blocked well on the outside, well, then that's going to limit. Yes, in space, it's easier for the back to make people miss and make some plays, but it's still not going to be perfect. If the linemen suck and they can't block, they can't block in there just like they can't block out there.
Right. Andy's talking about the physical. I was talking more about the mental. That's why I think it could help them. I think it might impact the defensive linemen to sit there and say, hey, don't forget this team has been running a lot of screens too. It might be week five, week six. We know on tape they're running 3, 4, 5 screens a game. Can't just pin our ears back and go after them. We got to be aware, and sometimes that helps you be able to block it up a little bit mentally. You might impact the other team a little bit.
Sounds like Maisie has an issue with Paul. Paul, on last week's training camp cast, you praised Trevor Scott for doing something in last week's game, but then went out of your way to bash Cunningham, saying he did absolutely nothing. Well, if you watch Scott's and Cunningham snaps again, clearly you will see that Cunningham had the better overall game considering the level of competition. You guys never have anything good to say about Cunningham.
That's
why?
Because it's utterly wrong.
He doesn't talk to you. He was drafted early. I don't have a problem with you praising Scott for his coverage sack against a jag tackle, but there is no need to take unsolicited shots at Cunningham. I expect that type of a-hole behavior from Andy, not you.
Hey, this was focused at ripping Paul.
On the chunk pick, it was Cunningham that forced the early throw. Plus, he was being held on the play. Please watch the second quarter again. Focus on the left end position. Show Jermaine some love.
Okay, well, first of all, my Trevor Scott love was actually not love. So you really...
sarcasm.
The sarcasm meter. The sarcasm meter that I am always accused of not having.
Sarcasm.
Andy and I were making...
There's a wide gap between what he meant and what he said.
That's why we need the camera, the little finger thing. I like that. The sarcasm meter, I like that.
Oh.
It gets me every time.
The needle, you mean.
Okay. Yeah, he moves the needle.
The finger, I thought you were...
Come on, let Paul yell at this woman, man, whatever it is.
No, I...
Maisie.
Well, the Trevor...
I don't know what a Maisie is.
The Trevor Scott thing...
Is it a corn?
The Trevor Scott thing was actually not...
If it's like
praise.
Corn, it's Maisie.
Well, whatever.
Then it's just not going to let you talk.
It's not that important.
Now Paul's mad. Well, I want to rip him, too. And, yeah, part of the reason why we criticize Cunningham is because he was a second-round pick who is now in his third season. And, oh, by the way, in his second season, he was a healthy and active and did absolutely nothing all year as an afterthought. Yes, we're critical of second-round picks who don't do anything. They're called busts.
But if you are a Jermaine Cunningham fan... You have to be,
you obviously are his parents.
You have to be a little bit encouraged about what you've seen so far. He's on the field.
He was on the field his entire rookie year.
So you're right on line with my praise for Trevor Scott. He was on the field.
Well,
somebody has to play.
That's where it began and ended.
Okay. But it's a step in the right direction for Jermaine
really?
Cunningham.
Is it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You have to get on the field before you can show anything.
He was on the field
his whole rookie year.
He didn't show anything.
He looks in shape. He won the off-season conditioning.
He looks good in his red socks.
So did Trevor Scott.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
together they've done?
Squat.
It's early. We'll see.
Yeah.
This is a big week for both of them, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, I think they're going to make the team because I just don't think they have any options.
I'm not sure Scott's going
to. Now, they're behind all the ones that they do have, but they don't have a lot of depth at defensive end.
They have none. None at all.
Colin in Belgium says, great job on the pregame social.
Thank you.
Good thing you had Adam Jones there to say webradio at patriots.com and give the phone number every 15 minutes.
That's
or so.
What a host
but
is supposed
exactly
to do.
What we needed.
If it was every 15 minutes, it probably wasn't enough.
No,
anyway,
he did a very good job. He reeled us in when we start to get a little off track. And I think we loosened him up a little, which I think is good for him.
Fred, maybe you need to give all the information out all the time. Andy and I don't have any problem soliciting callers, emailers, tweets.
Most of them are ripping us, but you know.
Sure. What are you going to do? Most of them like Maisie.
In between him giving that information, I pictured him sitting between you two looking back and forth with an uncomfortable smile on his face thinking, how did I ever end up with these two yahoos?
How far I've fallen.
Longest 2 hours of his life. Wow.
No, I don't think so. The longest two hours of his life are the post-game show by himself.
Yeah. One thing is for certain. Friday morning, 8 o'clock a.m., Adam Jones was down at the Kinko's printing out copies of his resume and sending them to every outlet in the universe, NFL Network, ESPN, EI, WKRP, everybody. I'll probably be getting one in the mail any day now. I live in frickin' Belgium. Seriously, though, he was pretty good. Why didn't you have any media from the Saints? Hope you keep doing that. You've got to get Vito Stellino again this year.
Blame the producer.
And are you still going to do the emailer of the week?
Kevin dropped the ball.
I could do without Jeff in Vegas. He's a tool. So what? We didn't have a visiting writer?
Didn't I send you the email?
Kevin dropped the ball.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't send you that email?
He was trying to, you know, coordinate six or seven different things, as he usually is. And, you know, we were obviously last on the list.
After his lunch. Dinner, whatever it was.
You came in with a plate.
You don't do the emailer of the week?
No, that's a sponsor.
The emailer of the week's dead. I know that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they didn't buy it.
Who was it?
It was Auto Trader, I think.
Oh, Auto Trader's out?
But I just got an email from Otzi for our free food contact for the pregame social from
Who's
Dunkin'
Donuts. Who's that? Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts.
That both your head and heart agree on.
Tell them to get some Oreo cream-filled donuts on the
Hopper. When I send the email, that's what I'm going to order.
A couple Oreo culottes.
Speaking of food, have you placed that order?
Yeah, I placed it at 11:05.
It's 12:07.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the call.
Wasn't the
this
same
is the information that you get with a professional host.
How far apart are those two times?
87 degrees here in Foxborough, 12:07.
When they tell you 40 minutes, it's never
I've been waiting
minutes.
To take a break until the food comes, but I'm running out of oxygen.
So take a break, and we'll take another one when the food comes.
No,
keep plowing
way,
through.
That guy was a tool that we were supposed to have on the show.
Yeah,
but we could have got someone else.
Jeff Duncan wasn't available?
I called his cell, and it kept going straight to voicemail, too. But that other guy just said that, you know, claimed that, you know, his phone was working fine or whatever, and I'm sitting in here calling him 15 times.
Well, do you have someone lined up for the Philly game?
I'll work on it.
What about Domo?
No, just call Dave Spadaro.
Spudsy.
Eagles.
Okay.
Domo.
Yeah, from PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
It's Freddie's Homer counterpart.
No, he's a great guy.
Like drop your name, Freddie. He'll do it for us.
We can have
Domo. I was checking out their site. Kenny Keller and our digital crew hit me on this. Is that
Wait, what was that?
They did what on that?
Hep me.
What's hep me?
That's an old term. Eric probably knows what it is. I'm hep.
I'm waiting.
Never heard. No. I'm hep to
We're
that.
Waiting.
I thought it was hip.
Is it hip?
Hep.
Hip to
hep.
The jive.
Hep to that.
So it's hep.
Hep.
H E P. Kind of like hemp.
No.
Without the M.
People who say it.
I'm hep to that. Hep. Anyway, he hep me to the fact that Philadelphia in their training camp actually have play by play for their practice. So you can go on their site and get live.
Isn't
play
that what
by
we
play.
Used to do? Kind of with the blog? We would sort of do play-by-play.
No, but this is like radio, but with video.
So it's TV.
Wait a minute.
It's
TV. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So they show video of every play that happens at practice?
Yeah, and when they go 11-on-11, yeah.
But are we allowed to do that?
No.
No.
No, I didn't think so.
I mean, league-wide, we could.
Yeah.
It's just a team policy thing. Yeah.
Right.
Do they actually have people doing play-by-play?
So the team overrules the league?
Guys.
BB says NO.
Yeah, we've tried to do. We've done that in the past.
It is
the only
it
problem is.
Is
their camera angle was too tight. I think you need to have a little higher up camera angle so you can kind of see everything.
We did that with
on.
The Giants practices way back in the day.
Oh, way back. Back in Bryant when we had the joint practices.
Yeah, that's not good internet. I was going to say TV.
Radio.
It's not good internet.
That camera
it's like radio with pictures.
What's that? What's that, Kevin?
You know the camera that sits up outside of Red Level that shoots?
I know it. I've met it. Yep.
I know, but that would be perfect for that type of thing.
Doesn't matter. We shouldn't spend any more time
because we're not
about
ever going to be allowed to do it, and nor should we.
I don't know about that either way, but we're never going to be able to until. We're not.
If we had a sponsor, I think they could force it.
Well, it depends how much they paid.
Yeah. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, and that was brought to you by Adam Jones.
James, actually,
yeah.
Brought to you by Ace Ticket.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, writes in. He says, hello, fat, thin and fat behind the glass. Couple of things. First,
two thin guys in this
room. Wow. I think he put you in a fat category.
He did.
Yeah, he had.
But there was only one thin. There's two thin guys.
Three fats, a thin, and then.
Oh, there's one thin guy and one anorexic Ethiopian.
No. Oh. He's including Pepe in there probably, too.
A couple of first
He's still
things.
Not including the two skinny guys. You're missing the point there.
He's probably never met Darren.
Right.
A couple things. Firstly, the Uno MVP page loads for about a second before forwarding to an AT&T banner with nothing else on the page. They are frauds, and Stephen Hawking may need to call in and complain. Oh, that would be great.
Remember when he did that?
Yes. That would be awesome.
Oh, do that again, please. Yeah. That was priceless.
Secondly, I feel quite contrarian with these two observations. Whilst Solder had a terrible game, I seem to remember Matt Light having a few stinkers over his career.
Yep.
My view on Solder is wait and see. The second thing is, was it me or did Chandler Jones look pretty gassed as the game went on? Is this something to worry about or am I just being negative? Last thing on Walters, if things were bad, would they be fining him? They would be fining him, right?
Waters?
I mean,
Waters?
He means Waters. Yeah, Waters.
How do we know they're not fining him?
Yeah, it's up to
We don't know that they aren't.
We don't know that.
Two things on the specific questions. The difference with Nate Solder is he spoke with the media after the game, and Matt Light would never have done that.
No, if he had a bad
game. And two, Chandler Jones does do the Willie McGinnis hands on his hips a lot. I just assume it comes with guys that are 6'6", 270 pounds.
I thought he looked a little gassed, but I'm not. I mean, it was very humid.
And Willie McGinnis used to always do it, either go to a knee or put his hands on it. He had a weird bend, too, with his arms on his hips, but... You know, those guys are tweeners. They're not small enough to be like
Willie McGinnis, by the way, was always gassed.
Right, well, but I'm just saying.
But I don't think this guy's out of shape.
He did have that sort of like it was a forward.
But yeah, like a weird kind of gayish.
It's your first game against NFL competition. You probably come out all jacked up. He probably did get a little tired at
first. And as Paul said, it was hot as.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was ridiculous.
Think how much we were sweating in the press box.
And he played a lot, too. Those guys played pretty much the entire first half.
He'll learn when to take it easy on a play when it's all the way in the other side.
We don't want him to take it easy.
That's what we're looking for. Let's see if we can get him to conserve his energy.
Well, I think all the greats, Bruce Smith used to
talk
about
it. I want a guy who can take plays off because he's that good.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten to the point where he can take plays off yet, though.
No, but I'd like him to have his first career preseason sack.
My point is, I'm not surprised if he was a little gassed.
Right, because in practice, you get... You know, four reps, and then a different group comes in. He was out there for a significant period of time, and the heat and the everything.
Plus, he was probably a little.
I almost died that morning. You know, the humidity that day was terrible.
Yeah, we almost lost Andy that morning.
Yeah, that's.
I would have put my hands on my hips if I had had enough energy to put my hands on my hips.
All right, I'm going to talk real fast.
He went all southern there too. Put my hands on my hips.
Brian in Essex, Vermont, Eric's travel advisor says, "Here's the problem with the NFL and the NFLRA." As reported by Darren Gant from Pro Football Talk, the NFL offer would take first-year officials from $78,000 to $165,000.
Sounds pretty good to me.
By the end of the agreement in 2018.
They have to wait 6 years to more than double their salary.
So get this. You actually have to earn your money.
With 10-year officials who earned $139,000 last year, topping $200,000 by the end of the proposal, with more available for those who get postseason assignments. I find it incredibly difficult to feel sympathy for the Refs Association when they're turning down that kind of pay raise, and you guys said it pretty clearly. They work 3 days a week for half a year and make more money than the average American makes in an entire year. People who are pro Refs Association note much players make and how much the NFL makes, but I don't see it as they make so much, so we should make so much. I think everyone makes too much, and they're more than happy to pass those costs to their fans, which is why stadiums are seeing yearly declines in attendance. I don't see how the refs deserve $165,000 a year, and I don't see how increasing their pay, as well as players, so drastically translates into making an NFL game more accessible to the common Joe.
Yeah, I think they should be paid a good amount of money. They, as Fred said, it's a high-stress
job. It's a hard job.
But... They are not the show. So it's not like they say, well, the salary cap has gone up X% over the last 10. No, no one goes to see you. Even Ed Hockley, everybody jokes about you. No one goes to see you. They'd forget about you tomorrow. You're not the talent. The talent is the talent.
And I'll tell you this too: if you had these replacement refs and they had to, and they were just the refs from here on going forward,
they'd get better.
Halfway through the year, you wouldn't talk about them anymore.
And they would get better.
And if you didn't know they were the replacement refs, you would have never talked about them. You're only talking about them because they're dubbed.
That's probably even better point.
Yeah, okay, haha, the guy said Arizona instead of Atlanta. Okay, it happens all the time. They all screw up. They all say the wrong things. It would not be a big deal. They're not the show. Don't overplay your hand.
How about the guy that
take your
playing
nice 100% raise and get in camp?
Yeah, I mean, to be a good ref, you need to be smart. Obviously, you need to know the rules inside and out. You need to think fast. Those are the two things, you know?
The guy they kept playing the clips for that were making fun of him, instead of saying, you know, he would announce the penalty, offside, defense, you know, still first down, he would say the down is one. And, oh, ha, 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 ha. Like, because you have to say it exactly the same way Ed Hockley does.
Sounds like something Bill Belichick would say. The status is quo.
You know, I mean.
That is a little weird vernacular, though.
No, I understood. It's different than what we're used to hearing.
It's also weird for a guy to
how
say,
did it affect the game?
There was no flag on the play. The defender was simply overpowered. Mr. Yeah. I have a microphone. I
or he
use
was
it.
Giving him the business.
The guy that spent a minute and 45 seconds explaining the overtime rules.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need that either.
He was refreshing his own memory, I think.
So and by the way, he messed it up in the explanation.
Yeah, I think they're getting a fair raise, Fred, if that's...
Oh, awesome. Yeah. That sounds
yeah,
pretty good.
If those numbers are accurate...
But now, if the raise comes only if we can bench you, okay, maybe...
God forbid I'm going to be held accountable for my
seriously.
Work.
Yeah, no, but that might be...
That is not the American way!
So I'm taking it they didn't have white toast? No.
White toast?
I wanted a turkey club on white bread. Okay.
All right. I mean, why are you getting all difficult to deal with?
I just had
a sub shop.
I had a
you know what sub shops have? Subs.
Listen, I had a hankering for a traditional turkey club. Traditional.
Right, take a break.
Not in a sub. Uh-oh. Who didn't get what?
Uh-oh, Paul.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
What did he didn't get what he ordered? Oh, my God. What did
he ordered something.
Oh, God.
Well, he definitely ordered
he
something.
He ran out as soon as the food came, so maybe.
They came a half an hour late.
Uh-oh. Oh, wait. You know what? I think I got what Paul ordered.
No, you got
meatball.
Paul's sub. I got what Paul ordered. No, you got Paul's order.
You ordered.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm a little less worried. You won't eat
it. Oh.
This is great radio.
So what
right
did you
here.
Get, Eric?
No, you ordered
meatball.
Meatball. So I have to go get it.
Oh, man. Eric didn't get a sub. But you have a banana and an orange in the tailpipe.
Oh, yeah. Always have a little supplement. Not in the tailpipe.
Oh.
Nope.
A-hole Brent in Illinois says, question about the game. How did the second round pick Wilson look? Just curious if he looks okay or like the bust most thought he would be. Also, seeing that Eric did not even know you guys were in the finals, you should thank him for his support. He looked okay.
Yeah. He was all right.
He's out there.
He doesn't look lost. He's not out there, you know, knocking passes down and, you know, making hits in the backfield, but he's doing fine.
Play corner
he's
and safety.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of all over the place.
Hey, Darren, you're still here.
Still here.
I haven't heard from you.
Yeah, well.
Now, this is your last week, right?
That's right.
When's your actual last day?
Thursday.
Thursday's your last day.
Yep. Two and a half more days.
Okay. You're going to finish that piece of business that you haven't taken care of yet before then?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, probably not.
let's see. Andre's in Panama. And he says, it's been a while since I emailed in, but I've kept listening to all the great shows. I have two things to say. NFL Network is beginning to promote the new America's Game episode of the Giants just when I was beginning to forget about it. What would you prefer? Go undefeated and win the Super Bowl against any team by a blowout or have a normal season and beat the Giants in a thriller? I would prefer to beat the Giants in a thriller and make them feel what we've felt two effing years.
Nope.
And the other thing, which jersey should I get for my birthday coming in October, Gronk or Mayo?
Gronk.
Gronk.
And
Cunningham.
Undefeated is always the answer.
Yeah,
I would go
immortality
with
is always the answer.
And it's not always the answer, but it's a layup in that case.
Right.
Layup.
All right. Let's take a break. Food's finally here. We'll sort out why Eric didn't get his sub.
Sorry.
And we'll be right back.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS. What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals?
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time. With Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, it would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade. Yeah.
It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. So he goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took the ring.
Yeah.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells. All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We're talking about everything that's happened since the Thursday night 7-6 win over the Saints. Patriots now getting ready for Monday night against the Eagles, and they'll have practices today, tomorrow, and Thursday, 1:30 to 4 o'clock, and then that's it for public access. So if you were looking to see the Patriots in training camp, you got three more days to do it. And, by the way, this is a good week to do it because the crowds are a lot smaller than they have been. It was just ridiculous the first couple of weeks, you know, 12, 13,000 per practice. But now you can kind of spread out a little bit. It's a little bit more comfortable and have a better chance of getting an autograph. So,
a burp on you.
Yeah.
A throw up.
Well, you know, we do have to eat lunch in like record time every day. So.
And it was good. Those cookies are good today.
Haven't got there yet.
Yeah. Got there yet. I saw that Cedric Benson signed with the Packers. Does that maybe reopen the door for Ryan Grant to come here? Or do we not need that door opened at all? Are we totally, let's go with the youngins and.
I think, maybe if they're looking for a solid fourth, you take Ryan Grant, but I think they'd be happy with three, like we were talking on the podcast
a
little
too,
bit yesterday.
Right now. I think they're pretty.
But, you know, are they playing a little bit of a
risky game?
Risky game, because we've seen the last few years, they've used all five when they've had five.
I'm sure they would keep at least one on the practice squad.
But
wouldn't have just three running backs.
They've never gone five deep with young guys. I mean, when they used five, it was Fred Taylor was hurt.
Right.
Sammy Morris was hurt.
Well, yeah, because guys get hurt. So,
well, they're 35 years old. Yes, they get hurt.
Okay.
There was always a veteran presence there, veteran being, upper 20s or 30s.
I don't want to go all in on Shane Vereen as my durable guy.
No,
but.
And last year, they didn't really use Falk, and they didn't really use Vereen. So they really only used three. Now, it's nice to have the depth if you need it, but I kind of agree. I don't think that you need to have guys on the roster. I think you can get them. I think you could,
Well, till he signs, he's out there for however long.
I think Bolden is probably going to stick around in some capacity.
Practice squad.
He might be on the roster. He might end up on the practice squad. But somehow, I think you're going to find a way to
So do you think Cedric Benson going to the Packers brings down Ryan Grant's price?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because he can't go home again.
Right.
I mean, that was my point. And I think he wanted to go back there. And Benny's in Cincy, and all the dominoes are kind of falling. And I saw that Benson signed for 1 year, $825,000. So Ryan Grant's price tag is probably dropping as well when he realizes, ooh, I don't have a team.
The Alaskan Cowboy, Wyatt Dodge, writes in. He says, if you think about it, Stephen Ridley averaged 4 yards a run without some of the starting O-line. Could Ridley run even better when Mankins and Vollmer come back? He actually averaged five.
5 yards to carry. I thought Ridley was very impressive.
Oh, yeah. I continue to be most impressed by him lining up wide, that they feel comfortable putting him out there.
I want to see him do some stuff before I get as enamored with that as you do. Because I think Benny would do that, but I knew he was never a threat to do anything. Now, I'm not saying Ridley is as limited as Benny, but I don't, until they start doing stuff with him.
See, I think you only have to catch the ball like twice. I mean, I don't think he's going to be. I think Kevin Falk lined up out there all the time, and they threw to him two or three times. I think just the ability to do it, to not have it be a total waste and just be totally ignored. And I don't think anyone can just ignore Ridley. I think Benny you could just ignore. I think he was a Jag receiver.
I don't think you have to put as much attention to Ridley as you do. That's all.
All right.
Oh, I don't think you do either. I'm
I don't
not
think
there's
much
LaDainian
difference in the
Tomlinson.
Amount of attention that those two guys are going to get.
I think he'll burn them. If they treat him like Benny, then they'll burn him, I think.
I mean, you're going to put a linebacker on him. What are you going to do?
No, I know, but there's a difference. And they didn't do it all that often with Benny. More often than not.
No, they
had to change personnel. And my biggest thing is, I think this team has been too personnel heavy for a long time now. Now, I know they like to do that. I don't care for that. I think you're more dangerous when you don't have to change personnel, when you can run all your plays out of the similar packages. And if you can line up Ridley in the backfield and then move him out split wide and feel comfortable doing it, and feel like it's valuable to you, I think you're a better offense because of it.
I'm feeling you, dog. I'm feeling you. Not necessarily on board with you.
508-298-0398 is the 8-second hotline. Let's go to the phones. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
I'm like your last email. Every time I turn around, I'm seeing the Giants Super Bowl every time. I'm getting tired of seeing it on the NFL channel until I'm getting ready to turn it.
Well, you're going to have to wait a while. About till February before they have a new one.
They might not have a new one.
They don't show the old 7, they're showing the 2-20. which is bad. But couple concerns.
Okay. What do you got?
I know Mankin and Vollmer ain't back. And even though it was
Mankins
a
is back.
Mankins
is back.
Mankins is back.
Well, they're back now, right?
Yeah. Mankins is back.
Mankins is back.
Okay,
not Bowman.
They wasn't back Thursday.
Okay. Oh, you mean from the game?
Oh, from the game.
From the game, yeah.
All right.
Brady, you know the vanilla defense. They got in there pretty good, so especially knocking Brady around some. That's a concern, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they played the second and third, you know, when Brian Hoyer was in there, which got, they had a cleaner pocket,
mm-hmm.
you know. But if they go against first and they play like that, that's a concern, especially if Mankins and Ballmer ain't 100%. Yeah. And what's this about Plastico? Did they sign him or did they just work him out Sunday?
Let me guess. You want him.
No.
Oh!
No.
Oh, I'm stunned. I thought you were Mr. Receiver.
Randy Moss is in San Francisco.
Jamie in Houston wanted him, I bet. He likes a lot of receivers, too.
Where is Jamie?
No, they didn't sign him. And I think there's very, 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 very minimal chance they will sign him, and I certainly don't think they'll sign him now.
Well, from all the reports, it's between Dion and Starworth, which one they would keep, you know, fight for position.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, me neither.
But that's what I've been hearing on NFL AM and
don't believe everything you hear on those.
That means crap sheet's probably involved, so I wouldn't believe that. Hasn't been here once.
Okay, and then last concern.
Strippers, you don't need to tweet that
good,
either.
But they still give us some big plays, and I know it's training camp, preseason. You can't judge that too much, but they didn't cover just a little bit better.
I think so.
He made himself laugh.
I think they covered a little bit better.
Yeah, in the game, I thought they were okay. In these practices, I think they've been horrible, and I really have concerns. I think Arrington has struggled in the slot. I think Dowling still looks stiff on the outside, and McCourty has guys running by him sometimes.
Yeah, McCourty, he got burnt, and then Arrington got burnt Thursday. I'm like, darn, y'all start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least put a little pressure on him.
Yeah, I'm not sold this secondary is going to be all that good.
Any better?
I'm sold it'll be
better. It's going to be better because I'm all in on Gregory has solidified, or even Wilson will solidify the free safety spot, and you're better automatically because you won't have Matthew Slater starting or, God forbid, Sergio Brown.
Right. I do think, I do think when teams
unhealthy.
Spread them out, they're going to have trouble, as most teams in this league do.
Yeah,
it's tough.
I agree with the latter part there. I mean, there's very few teams that can sort of really slow down a passing game.
Yeah, but are there very few teams that don't have a corner that can cover?
No.
Because if McCourty stinks again, you don't have a number one corner. You don't have a top corner.
No, I know.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the coverage. I was very, I was pleasantly surprised the other night. I thought that they did a good job in their, the first two series there against Breeze and the ones. I thought they did a good job.
What do we think about Hightower in coverage?
Not good.
Not good.
Not good. Some of it was against guys that I think should beat him, like Jimmy Graham. When they were here for the first couple days, he was beating
unfair.
Him. He was even there a little bit, and then Graham would make the play. But, you know, yesterday in practice, Stephen Ridley beat him by 5 yards.
Oh, that was a bad one.
So I have my doubts about him in coverage right now. I really do.
And he had a couple of picks on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the stuff that I read, one of them was a bad drop by Ridley that ended up falling into his lap. So not necessarily good coverage. On the play. But
that said, there aren't too many 270-pound linebackers who can cover.
And he's a rookie.
Right.
Who has probably not done a ton of that kind of stuff.
Right, he was a sub-rusher for them. He was a guy moving forward. And that's where I'd like to see him, is moving forward.
Adalis Thomas was a 6'2", 270-pound linebacker.
Yeah, and he was going to shut down opposing tight ends until he didn't shut down any tight ends.
The guy that could do it all.
Celebrated his 35th birthday the other day, I saw on Twitter.
Is that right?
2 days ago, yesterday, and he was planning his
party.
Do
you have any sauce?
It's just amazing. Out of football, totally. Leaves here, gone.
Yep.
That's amazing to me. A $35 million linebacker, just gone. Never gets another chance anywhere. And yet we think people are going to claim Dane Fletcher.
Well, Patriots, we will make you or we will break you.
Oh, my God. You've broken us.
Baden, leaves here, out of
Hamza
football.
In Toronto says, felt good to be watching football again the past week, not to mention the equally important rituals of Kirschwords and the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. Fall is truly almost upon us. I especially like when Paul and Annie took an indirect shot at Fred when they said of Pac-Man, it's good to finally have a real host. I disagree. A real host mispronounces emailers' names, has trouble reading, doesn't listen to the panel's answers, and asks the same question of them multiple times, responds to inappropriate stories with senile, and gives out his personal number when he can't remember the number for the call-in line. Now, Adam does none of those things. So, Fred, you'll always be the host for me.
Who was that? Hamza?
Hamza.
A quick side note there. On phones. We were in Paul's office today, and Fred has his cell phone in his hand, and his cell phone rings, and he goes, oh, it's for me.
he has his phone. Oh, that's for me.
Who else would it be for?
I told everyone not to call me on Fred's line. I don't know about you.
Well, you wouldn't realize how many wrong numbers I get on my cell phone.
I don't.
And I've had this number for a long time.
Well, that's why you get a lot. You know,
is it close to something?
I don't know. Sometimes you get it. It's always like, you know, a guy speaking Spanish. Like, you know, and he's looking for someone, and I'll say you have the wrong number, and then he'll call back three times.
I just automatically thought of Buzz Lightyear.
When they switch him to Spanish mode.
Anyway.
Caballero.
This is still Hamza. He says, shame about Fletcher. Do you guys think that if Carpenter can't cut it, we might see Hightower move to the mic and Ninko play the Sam?
Well, I don't know if you know. He's done that all throughout camp.
Right. He has been at the mic.
That's what Bill yelled at me when I asked him. And that's what he did in the game.
He seems ill-suited as a 4-3 outside linebacker, but who else do we have that can start?
Who seems ill-suited?
Hightower?
I think he means Carpenter. No, Hightower.
Well, he's not. He's well-suited. He can play all three linebacker spots, in my opinion. And I also think I told Paul this. Depending on what's done up front, I'm okay with, who is it? Rob Ninkovich playing outside, strong side outside linebacker.
Yeah, if Spikes,
if Spikes is out and
I think
Hightower
the move
in the middle.
Is Hightower in the middle, if Spikes is out, which means that we're on board with the emailer.
Although,
that's, I think, what he wanted to
do. Who do you have playing end?
Well, we'll have to figure that out. Well, the immortal Jermaine Cunningham.
One step at a time, Andy.
No, but maybe I would rather
usually
have.
Usually we work front to back.
Well, but I'll give you, even if you don't want to affect the defensive line, Bill sometimes frowns upon moving, you know, several parts. I would rather have
Carpenter
outside
on the outside
than in the middle.
Yeah.
And have Hightower
like
in the middle.
Like we saw against the Saints.
Sure.
Carpenter came in, Hightower moved into the middle.
I'd also start Dedrick or Justin Francis.
And Carpenter is a guy who clearly can play all three spots, as Bill has said multiple occasions as well.
How well?
I don't know. Not well enough to play.
To stick with one team.
Or three.
Or five?
Four.
Five. Well,
Rams, Cowboys, Dolphins, Lions. He didn't stick with.
And has started very few games.
Oh, yeah.
Like so it's not
three,
well
five,
enough to get on the field. You know, that said, he doesn't look like a bad. I mean, he looks like he knows what he's doing out there.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't look
he
like
doesn't
a
look
stiff.
Out of place.
No, not at all. Not like his head is spinning or physically.
I wonder how he is, like, you know, in run support, like up close to the line if he gets pushed around. At
all. He doesn't seem to be overly physical.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the hair that sways me.
Well, you know, and maybe
he looks like Barbie, so I assume he plays like.
And maybe it's all about the edges now, when you want to have a bigger guy in that strong side. But to me, like, to have a guy that you would describe like that as the Mike, to me, would be kind of scary.
Yeah.
That's why I would rather have Hightower
stoutness.
And we have Gary Guyton in there for like a year, and we sucked.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
But Jim, we've sucked on defense for 5 years. It wasn't about one
guy.
We're
trying to get better. Okay. Jim in Pittsburgh writes in, thanks, Fred, for giving us the qualifications for a referee. And now that we know Andy can never be one, the chemistry of our PFW universe will stay intact.
Oh, I would not be a good referee. No.
You know, you're getting a lot of arguments.
I'm very reactionary. I would get in a lot of arguments. I would see something
consider it.
Think I saw the whole play when I didn't really see the whole
play. Some people just don't have the temperament.
Yeah.
He would take plays off.
And I'm easily distracted, and I forget
Andy would be like,
you'd be watching cheerleaders.
You see the cans on that bimbo?
Yeah. You need to be really focused.
And then I'd forget what happened earlier. Like, no chance. Terrible.
I'm hoping for a decent defense.
I would spend the whole game
the last couple of years have felt like we became the Colts. If we get anything out of these guys, we could win it all. Remember, when our offense wasn't so efficient and Brady was the guy that could always find a way to win the game, he seemed to get rattled less when he was a kid and didn't know any better. So now maybe the pressure's getting to him and
he's thinking too much instead of just playing. I have no idea.
Yeah. I think he's going to be okay.
I think he's okay. I think he's a pretty good player now.
Yeah. Nick says, shouldn't PFW have a listener poll on the Andy versus Paul final? Since it was the listeners PFW who got them to the final, just sub this in for one of the weekly online polls. I really want to see a winner. Just more dirt for them to sling at one another throughout the year's Super Bowl run. And that's from Nick.
I'm okay with that. I've made the comparison that Paul is like Drew Bledsoe. This franchise thought they had a legitimate, very good quarterback until Tom Brady came along. So Paul is like Drew Bledsoe. Until I came along, people didn't know what it could be in terms of radio analysis.
I liked your original one better. Paul's Montana. I'm Steve Young.
I did say that first.
I agree.
Yeah. When Montana was washed up, it was time for Young to take over, do things better, have the greatest efficiency rating in the history of the league, become a Hall of Famer in his own right.
And much like Steve Young, the most overrated player in the history of football.
Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
No.
No, not at all.
No.
I don't know why
highest
everybody
completion
hates
he percentage
was way
in his
overrated.
Rating. Is that what he has?
Highest rating.
Highest rating.
Passer rating in NFL history. Career. And
which is also the worst stat in football.
By the way, Scott Zolak was officially announced as the replacement for Gino Cappelletti for the radio broadcast, and they had a whole press release from 98.5, and it had all his career stats. And, and he finished with a 64.6 career passer rating. I'm like, it probably should have left that part out.
It's better than Jamarcus Russell. Better than what Ryan Mallett's will be.
I still wouldn't use it. That's my point.
Well, what was your career passer rating in the NFL?
What does that have to do with anything?
He was a legitimate NFL player.
Are you just throwing things out just to be argumentative?
You could have just said that he was, former NFL quarterback. Yeah. He didn't need to put his passer rating in there.
Right.
Make him embarrass the poor guy.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't find it embarrassing.
Well, maybe he should.
I'd like to have played in the NFL.
Now Eric is telling him what he should and shouldn't be embarrassed about.
I'm just trying to get his goat, Paul.
I mean, there's something to be said.
Can't you work with me a little
he
bit?
He had an NFL career.
That's why he has a job now. He wouldn't be in the booth if he didn't have an NFL career.
Nor would Gino Cappelletti.
Correct.
There's no harm in
Hello.
That.
Correct.
Right? I mean, most color analysts are former players.
I know.
Yeah.
What are we
Thanks,
arguing?
Babe. Hang around for a little while.
But if Gino had a subpar, pass-catching percentage, you wouldn't use that in a press release, is my point. You'd leave that part out.
Yeah, it did seem a little odd.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Yeah, Fred's not saying that they shouldn't have accentuated the fact that he was an NFL quarterback.
No, just don't put his passer rating
you
in
could
there.
Put, he played for the Patriots for X amount of years and blah, blah, blah. He won the big game against San Francisco.
The whole picture.
Yeah. Like when we announced Darren's internship, we didn't say he had a 3-yard kickoff return. Or
four-yard
kickoff return.
Oh, yeah,
I did.
Right.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire says, it's been a while since I've written in. I haven't been able to listen to the show live. Did you guys change how the show streams? Because for the past few weeks, my computer loses the feed every few seconds, and an annoying replay icon appears. And once I click on the icon, the stream continues, but only for a few seconds, and then it stops again. Anyway, I was unable to watch the game last Thursday. I ended up following the play-by-play on my iPod and bouncing between that and curse words. From what I heard, the offensive line struggled quite a bit. I know this is only the first preseason game, but do you guys have any concerns about this? We are kind of thin at O-line, and it is good to help, and it is, and God help us if someone gets hurt. Anyway, keep up the great show. We'll listen later when I can download the podcast.
Are we still having that problem?
I said it was a little while ago.
The replay?
A few weeks ago.
That was an NFL-based issue.
Yeah.
No, I'm not worried about the offensive line yet.
This McDonald guy's getting a lot of ink lately. He's the guy that everyone's writing about because of his versatility. Is he, can he play truly all five positions?
No.
We're going to find out, as Bill said yesterday.
Better hope not.
Oh, wait, I don't want to find out, really.
Because you put him at left tackle out there, you'll be wishing for Solder back.
No. I think you meant...
In a pinch.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think you meant instead of Solder.
I know, he's being very argumentative.
Very chippy.
Well, I mean...
More so than usual.
That's what Andy is.
Yeah, but more so than usual.
I don't think so.
I don't even think he... Yeah.
No, but seriously...
I don't think so.
Guys have played left tackle, or guys have... Matthew Slater played safety. Does that mean he can play safety? No, he can't play safety. He played it, but he cannot play the position. I don't think Nick McDonald can play left tackle for you.
Okay, well, that's what Bill Belichick said yesterday. He was going to try to find out. If he can do that for us,
well, good luck
it would really help our football
Hopefully Brady's
team.
Career doesn't end. If he plays left tackle, it's not good.
Wow. Eric just got a sub.
You are.
That was pretty quick.
An angry,
that was
angry
quick turnaround.
Little man.
I am not an angry. I'm a realist.
I'm not an angry.
With a big head.
I'm a realist.
We all understand that
sub got here.
He was a college tackle at a small Division III school.
Two, I think, but I get you.
Division II school. we're not expecting him to go in there and replace Matt Light, but if he has the ability to do all of those things, he might be a valuable guy to have.
And he also might be an Eric Scalavino feature. Because I saw that his mother passed away from cancer at 14.
Oh, yeah, he had some
issues.
A friend brought him in.
Yeah,
and
I think
I think I
we wrote about that
last year.
Oh. Thanks for reading.
Your writing probably got in the way of a good story.
Speaking of one-on-ones, did anyone...
It's amazing how we can turn those so
He's
fast.
An a-hole.
Speaking of one-on-ones, did anyone detect a little chemistry between Jackie UK and Julian Edelman?
No, I didn't watch it.
No?
I would have
but
to
Dante
watch.
But Dante Hightower would be jealous.
So, I love dicks as well.
You have to watch that.
Well, then what do you want with Jackie?
It's pretty good. I saw it.
Now you're watching her online.
Well, I'm just saying.
Watching the competition.
I was going through the news on Patriots.com.
I've given up on you, by the way.
Okay. Fair enough.
You've
only
had,
got 2 days left.
3 weeks to ask her out, and you haven't.
Yeah, well.
Meow. And I'm telling you, it's a slam dunk. She will go out to dinner with you if you ask her out.
Well, I mean,
I think you should invite her to
one
of your games.
You got to give her a lot of credit. Maybe. She came up here not knowing anyone. It's not an easy thing to do, and she's looking for a little companionship.
Right. A little warm.
You know, just someone to take her out for ice cream.
A little male companion.
You know?
You should figure out a way to get her to one of your games and show off
God.
A little bit.
Oh, no, yeah. No. I didn't say that was a lock. She's not driving 17 hours to the western corner of
Massachusetts. Do they stream your games online?
17 hours.
Derek,
how long of a ride is it?
Can I
to
get...
Williamstown? About...
No, to the other place that you go to college.
About 3 hours.
So what's
17 hours.
Yeah. Do you play at Tufts?
We do.
Now, at Tufts is a layup.
Well, there you go.
In fact, I'll go with her and have some wing works.
Can we go to RFO Sullivan's
yes.
after the game? I'm in.
You also
all of a sudden his date became a PFW field trip.
You play at Tufts. I have a low-level football void in my life, Eric. I might have to go and take that game
now,
in.
Now, does Williams stream its games on the internet?
Yes, I think it does.
So,
yeah,
give her the link.
I might give her the link.
Oh, he'd like to give
her
the link.
He'll give her the link, all right.
The whole link of sausage.
Oh, see now.
Even I was on that one.
I set him up, and he hits him out of the park.
That's right. It's what I do.
Mike in Bethesda. Hey there, Cork Soakers. On the night of the draft, I was concerned with the Hightower pick, as I had him pegged as a two-down linebacker, a position we all know is disappearing as more teams go spread. I was happy to learn that he played rush end for a lot for Alabama last year, but I haven't heard you guys mention him with his hand in the dirt at all this summer. Is he taking any reps as a down lineman or at least participating in the one-on-one edge rusher drills? He seems too big to be a cover linebacker, and I'm worried about his ability to stay on the field against spread offenses.
I have not seen him with his hand down, and the linebackers aren't over there when they do the one-on-ones. That's the D-line.
They've been on the running backs. Yeah, I agree with Andy. I haven't seen it. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but I don't recall seeing it.
Paul,
but I do think he's a guy that can be a valuable sub-rusher. In some capacity. I think it's one of those things with Bill. Let's try to teach these guys one thing at a time before we start getting branching off. And
that was the question I asked, and he said it was a great question like 18 times.
But never gave you the Andy that you were looking for.
But it is the question I posed so that listeners know is when a guy is versatile, how do you balance taking advantage of versatility by asking him to do a bunch of things early on with just letting him learn a couple roles and he admitted that is if you wait too long now he's playing catch up and you might not be able to actually use him in the versatile roles.
You know, like last year Marcus Cannon, when he came out of school, a lot of people thought he played tackle at TCU. A lot of people thought that he'd be a guard in the NFL. They didn't play him at guard last year. They sort of obviously he had a slow indoctrination to begin with because of his health situation. But he played all tackle, and I think that's what you do with a young guy, with no experience. Now, they're keeping him at tackle. He's still yet to play any guard, to my knowledge. He's played pretty much all tackle. But I think a guy like Nick McDonald has been around the league a little bit and has played at least some in different systems. Now you can start moving guys around a little bit and seeing what kind of versatility they have. You don't see a ton of rookies immediately go. You know, 3 or 4 days they're playing cornerback, 3 or 4 days they're playing safety. Usually it's one or the other until they get comfortable with whatever they're doing.
VIP Strippers sends us some breaking news. This might mean something to you, Paul. Ron Palillo dead at 63.
Arnold Horshack.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. Andy
63.
Has no idea what we're
63?
Talking about.
63? That's
what was his name? I couldn't even understand.
Horshack.
Ron Palillo.
Palillo?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
P-A-L...
Illo.
I-L-L-O.
Yeah.
Freddie, before we get too late, do we want to play this MP3? I know Andy.
Yes, play it.
Is it
good? Poor guy made it.
Andy
Let
wants
him...
me to play
yeah,
it.
Yeah, play
all
it.
All right, all right. Juvenile has another MP3 playing with words, our words. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
I knew he was going to.
Let's hear it.
Well, something.
It's way too low.
Well, put it higher.
Drill with the Owen Long.
Something and deep balls. Something swallowed up. Something possession is 90% of the law, 9/10. Well, the typical
I
6'2" stack monster.
But I've
I don't know. Andy's the only one who found it funny.
All right. I thought it was hilarious.
I think it's funny how stupid we sound. All of us.
Yeah. Funnier than any open you've ever done. Oh.
All right. Anyway, let's get back to the emails. Artie is
French, not playing along.
Artie in Keene, New Hampshire. He says, yes. Oh, you're still cutting out every once in a while like you did a few weeks ago when the NFL changed the platform for internet broadcast. You've cut out 2 or 3 times today already.
What the?
Call Gabe.
Well, Chris Ferreira, if you're listening, let's get on it.
Wow, a lot of burps in that one, Freddie.
Yeah, what's the problem over there? The turkey didn't settle?
No, I ended up having an Italian because they didn't have white bread. Oh. I just wanted a turkey club. You know how they cut it into triangles and it's double-decked?
That's what I wanted. Put a little toothpick with the little frisbees.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I wanted a traditional turkey club. Not
Did
a
you think you were going to get that at a
Not
sub
a turkey
shop?
Club sub.
It's a sub shop.
Right.
Okay.
But sometimes
so
they
you
make
shouldn't ask for
it's
what?
It's subpar.
I mean, you don't go to Barnes & Noble's and say, can you fill my car up with gas?
It's a sandwich.
It's Barnes & Noble.
It's a sandwich.
I'm with Fred. They should have more than one type of bread.
Right. They have wraps.
They do have wraps.
They have calzones.
I'm with Fred, too.
Those aren't subs.
You should be able to get normal white bread.
How many pizza places can you order a turkey club on just
I should
toast?
Be able to go to any sub shop in the world and get a grilled cheese if I want. And if you have grilled cheese, you have white bread.
How many places have grilled cheese?
They should all have it.
Nothing
staple food.
A Friendly's grilled cheese. Delicious.
This is great, Fred. Isn't right
I like
here.
A super melt, yeah.
Just keep your head down and let them go.
But Friendly's makes all their thing on the bread. So,
it's well, like sourdough bread is really
there's
good.
Nothing better than the, what do you call it? The,
nothing what, better.
The patty
I wish
melt.
The MP3 was going on this.
The friendly patty melt.
Oh, well, terrific.
Right?
Yeah. Is that
it's
a specific
the hamburger
one?
On toast.
Oh, yeah.
It's
and
great.
Extra bad for you, I think, is all
probably.
Buttered.
What are you going to do? These things happen.
But
why do you
got to
eliminate
so
all
good.
Of my
Well, I like all
pleasures.
Their super melts. They have, like,
chicken
ones.
The barbecue chicken super melt
phenomenal.
Is awesome.
Right.
As someone who gets
just
stuck
keep
going
a loaf
Friendly's
of bread
way too often.
In stock, just in case someone like me needs something on a piece of bread. All right, that's
what
all I'm
happens when
for.
It's moldy.
You
when
can
no
go
one
to the store.
It.
You don't. You just get a loaf of bread and put it in the.
I agree
I
find
with
it funnier
if
when
restaurants
I mean, if it was
that,
just a pizza place
have bread.
And no sandwiches, fine.
Right.
You know,
but
if you go to a restaurant and say, "Oh, I'd like some rolls or some bread," and oh, we don't have that.
Right.
A restaurant.
Right.
That's
you don't
weird.
Have any rolls?
Yeah.
Sour milk?
Let's keep bashing him so I can email the owner.
No, because I still want the cookies because they have great cookies.
The cookies are phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Simon and Molly in England.
No,
Molly's
Mike and Molly. Oh.
And Molly's 10, so I'm
Molly's
not making
10.
Any comments.
He has in
Good.
His subject
actually,
line, Copen and Slater, question mark.
Copen
surely he
Slater.
Is gone, right? Does he have any trade value or will they just cut him? So he can choose his next stop. I don't know which one he's talking about.
I was going to say, Copen. You can't name two people and then say he.
I think he's talking about Copen.
Copen, right. Okay.
Because so. Slater wouldn't have any trade value. Copen yeah. could, but.
Copen said he only wants to be here.
If you know you're going to get, if you know he's going to get cut, I don't know why anybody would give you anything for
it. Right. And what value do you guys place on Slater? He may be versatile, but he isn't good enough at receiver or safety, can't return kicks. So are we keeping someone on the roster to cover kicks and punts when 50% of those are touchbacks or fair catches? Can't McCurdy be the gunner? Wasn't he drafted partly because he played all 4 downs?
No.
Getting receivers here who have chemistry with Brady is hard enough. Isn't it crazy to cut one now who we are bound to need come January and February? Law of averages says we have at least one receiver injured over the year.
Who are we cutting?
Well, he's saying if you were to cut one of the receivers just to keep Slater, it would be a bad idea.
They like Slater more than I do. I kind of agree with him on the tone of the email.
The worth of what he does.
Yeah, but they
I
like
I definitely him. Agree with that, and I'm with Andy, and I also agree with the emailer and the point he made about just the increase of touchbacks.
Yep.
Like how important – I mean, listen, Matthew Slater is a good, solid player.
Nice man.
And he's a great guy. Nice. He's a great influence in that locker room. He oozes professionalism. A lot of guys, I think a lot of
nice
teams,
bubble.
A lot of teams would do well to have a guy like that on their team. I just, I'm not sure that that role is as important as it needs
to
be.
You've never
noticed
his butt is like big and high.
Big bubble.
I know,
good
but it's
bubble.
Like a always shelf.
It's like a shelf.
His mind.
No, no, no. This is a proper scouting term. People believe that a big bubble
is always on your mind.
But
Eric
people believe that that is like a prerequisite for a great athlete and everything. That's a major.
Why? What's the rationale?
I don't know. It's a
big
muscle.
Easy,
it's
Jimmy.
It is a big muscle. I mean, you know, you look at those sprinters in the Olympics. They all got big bubbles.
As you say, Fred.
Trunk in the trunk.
No, you usually say, pow.
Pow.
You were in love with Pam.
Oliver at one time.
Pam Oliver.
And then she went.
He goes, Oliver at one time.
I never saw it. I'll be honest. I never saw it.
Simon also says, is Trevor Scott about to break your curse? Maybe he and Stallworth both make the team. And almost football season, thank God, 29 days till Molly and I fly over for the Cardinals game.
Yeah, Trevor Scott's in trouble still.
No, he could extend the curse.
Stripper says there are zero audio problems when listening through iTunes.
I love how it's best when we drive people away from our site.
It doesn't matter. It's still the same stream, you know, same ads in it. So,
it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was better to have them on our page.
Not really.
Oh, then everybody go to iTunes.
Yeah, you can listen to it anywhere you want. People download it. They still hear the ads. That's
no,
all we
I thought
care
we
about.
Wanted them to come to our main page, see the ads, see the stories, kind of.
They'll come for other
We're going to have some new ads for the pregame show, I think.
What do we got? Porn?
I'm not sure, but I was told to be on the lookout for some emails with some MP3s for some new sponsors.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
Interesting. Are any of them going to be like participatory sponsors? Maybe we'll
bring
back
paid
email.
Sponsors is what
no, they're all paid.
Yeah, they're paid sponsors.
The only thing that's not paid on that show is Paul and Andy.
Oh.
But the most important thing is that we get the free Dunkin' Donuts.
My mother was asking about that over the weekend. My agent.
Oh, yeah?
You don't want to piss her off.
Ginger.
Scott writes in, Scott from, I don't know.
She goes, you get any extra for that? And I just started laughing.
With Chandler,
like, it's like when Dieter asked me if I had Friday off after the game. Good one.
With Chandler Jones on the road to Canton on one side of the line, do you think it would make sense to get Carter in the fold if his demands come in line with Patriot reality?
Yep.
I would think that the writing would be on the wall if the perceived needs for him diminishes with each game that Chandler Jones performs well in. Since I was the guy that made comparisons between Devin McCourty and Mike Haynes his first year, it's hard for me to make any predictions about players at this point without sounding like another Andy Hart talking about failed pass rushers from previous years. A few quick questions. Are there any tight ends practicing on the roster at this point?
Tyler Urban and Alex Silvestro.
Yep. And thanks for your continued work. And how many shows has PFW done over the years? Would the shows before Eric came in count as well based on the series of unfortunate events that transpired before he came to steady the ship?
What?
Is that what you did? You steadied the ship?
Is he being sarcastic?
I think so.
I don't know.
Paul doesn't
We've
know.
Done a lot of shows.
Is there sarcasm there?
I don't know if you've done 5,000, but it's up there, right?
I wouldn't even know how to. I mean, we've had various schedules, 3 days, 4 days, 2 days, 1 days.
Well, if we average two a week, then, you know, we've done at least.
Yeah, we have thousands.
If you average two a week for half the year and 3 a week for the
other. Wikipedia page would have all kinds, you know, originally from 2000 to 2002, it was once a week. Then it went to twice a week. Then the off season, it was once a week on Wednesdays. We went to Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
During the season, at one time, we did 4 days a week.
Right.
We used to do Fridays.
Right.
Then we couldn't do Fridays anymore. We've had a million different schedules.
Quite a formula to figure out.
I wouldn't
it
have
out.
Any idea how to calculate that.
We've moved around more than the Grimm episode on NBC.
That no one watches but
yeah,
you.
No. Grimm is really on your
I
mind
like
today.
Grimm. I like Grimm.
Fred was very upset at Andy and I this morning just to let everybody know where that Grimm shot came from.
Grimm shot.
Thank
hey.
You.
Okay, well done.
he was asking us about Grimm, and Andy and I had no interest. He was just disgusted with us.
Just to get back to the Andre Carter thing, I would still like him back. But last night I found it interesting on Twitter. He and Chandler Jones were actually going back and forth, and it was very... Carter was like, well, good luck this year, Bruns. I'll be watching. Or like, there was no feel that I might
seemed
be joining
to be,
you.
Well, maybe, yeah. Huh.
It seemed like I'll be watching from afar. Good luck. And I think he even said, like, listen to the vets that are around you.
Think he
like,
closed the door?
it seemed like it. I mean, I didn't want to make more of it than it was, so I actually thought about doing a blog entry.
No
sexism,
like, right there?
Yeah. You can't read into Twitter like that. If you read into Twitter, you'd blog about spikes every freaking day.
Oh, God.
So,
and you'd be wrong
but
every other
the tone
day.
I took, and we always discuss things openly here, was he ain't going to be here. That was the tone of it.
That's too bad.
It is. They need him.
Yeah.
I would love to see him at left end with Jones at right end.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Then I think you might be better on defense.
Now
you're just spinning your wheels.
Is it just that they're not sure about him physically and they don't want to sign him? Or do you think, again, it's a money thing?
Both.
And
I think they
in a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Well, you want how much, but you're not going to be ready till when? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's right. Like we'd like you back at a reasonable price. And
any think, other teams
it's like you pay Paul and he
about?
Shows up at 10:30. He only gives you a half a day.
Right.
If he showed up early, you'd give him more.
That's true. Tell your mother that.
Oh, he no, said your mother.
No, you tell my mother that, and then we'll see what happens to you when you're done.
Brian writes, and I have a question regarding the performance of the Patriots versus the Saints in the preseason game. Do you think it's more encouraging or less encouraging with how it all unfolded given the joint practices? What I mean is, since the Saints got arguably more practice than your average team would get versus any other team during the regular season, do you think that standout performances such as Chandler Jones is more impressive? Conversely, do you think that we should expect more noteworthy performances from standouts like Jones when there are no joint practices which give teams less experience against these key players? Granted, I know this goes both ways, like the O-line's performance, but with regards to the defensive rookies and free agents and how they perform, I would think this is a good showing given the Saints had already worked with these players.
I don't really understand exactly
what
he's asking.
It does go both ways. I mean, the guy that was lining up against Jones in practice should have done better too then. Or,
yeah, I don't really understand. Chandler Jones, I thought, had a nice, solid debut. I'm encouraged by that. I don't know if I'm more encouraged because they practiced or less encouraged because they practiced.
And
I'm
Nate Solder struggled a little bit in practice with Will Smith, and then he struggled a little bit with Will Smith in the game. I didn't really understand.
I like Chandler Jones. I think, you know, we'll leave it at that. I think he's going to be a good player.
And we'll leave
quick note.
Oh, yeah,
note.
Yeah.
We had asked earlier in the week, and Adam Schefter says tonight will indeed include on Hard Knocks the meeting with Joe Philbin and Ocho Cinco and the release.
Oh, it's going to get
big ratings. We weren't
sure
if it was a week behind.
And
but
is that
yes.
at 10 o'clock?
That's at 10 on HBO.
All right. Well, that'll be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Nick Caserio, next up on Patriots.com Live. We'll be at practice at 1:30, and we'll be back with another edition on Thursday at 1 at 11. We'll see you then. I'm gonna fight them all. A seven-nation army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off. Taking their time right behind. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.